Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Infowars.com reporters, and we're about to play one of these clips here in a moment. Joe Biggs, Michael Zimmerman, Paul Watson were first on the scene today and actually got exclusive photos and video of one of the supposed terrorists after they'd been killed being put in a body bag in Paris. So this is unprecedented. They were running a raid trying to catch the mastermind of last Friday's operation that hit six targets simultaneously in and around Paris. They were in a Paris suburb, and a woman detonated a suicide vest during the raid, killing a police dog. Hours after Obama taunts GOP with widows, female suicide bomber explodes in Paris. Once again, reality is intruded on President Obama's divisive, his anti-science talking points. Just hours after the president used the term widows and orphans to taunt GOP over their opposition to flooding America with Syrian ISIS, has promised to seed it with terrorists. A female suicide bomber in Paris blew herself up as police closed in, while overseas, no less. And as Democrat senators Chuck Schumer, Dianne Feinstein, and Chris Coons all signal desire to pause the Syrian refugees process, Obama again proved that the only people he sees as Americans' real enemies are members of the Republican Party. Well, that's members of the Tea Party and the Republican Party. He loves the Republican Party leadership. Joe Biggs and others, our reporters, will be joining us coming up at the start of the next segment. Two die as French police seek Paris attack suspect. Seven arrested in raid. New York Times, the French police stormed an apartment in the medieval part of the northern Paris suburb before dawn today in an attempt to find the Belgian man suspected of orchestrating the Paris terrorist attacks. Two people died in the raid, including a woman, a young woman who detonated an explosive vest, and seven people were arrested. It was not clear if the suspect was there. Currently, they say it's impossible to give details of the identities. Our reporters are there now on the ground. We'll be talking to them again in about 5 minutes. Continuing, ladies and gentlemen, stretched FBI braces for Islamic State holiday terror attacks they've promised. And the big news revealed, the enemy within, Daily Mail, nearly 70 are arrested in America over ISIS plots, and they include refugees who have been given safe haven but turned to terror. Federal and local law enforcement agencies have made dozens of arrests of men and women suspected of ISIS involvement. Mustn't have been too hard, because the last 4 years, they've allowed al-Qaeda, al-Nusra, and now ISIS to recruit all over the Western world. All over the Western world. They have been allowing these people to train, recruit, and then bring their jihadis into the Middle East. Here's another headline out of the Daily Express. Eight ISIS suspects posing as refugees arrested at Istanbul airport. But French President Hollande's response is to welcome refugees, 30,000 additional in this week, despite the Paris attacks. And Obama has come out and said that they're not going to tell governors like Governor Greg Abbott of Texas and 20-plus others, including some Democrats, they're not going to tell governors or legislatures or state police or anybody else for that matter where the jihadi refugees are being seated. Can you imagine? I mean, Obama could be planning some type of sleeper cell takeover. I mean, I'm not saying the radical Muslims would actually take down the country, but this could be the new 9/11. And Obama thinks we're so dumb that when they strike us, he won't get in political trouble for what they've done. This is wild.
We've got it.
This transmission is coming to you.
Waging war
on corruption.
All right, you are go.
It's Alex Jones, coming to you live from the front lines of the InfoWar.
Well, the bloody soap opera, the horrific reality TV show that has taken so many lives and is continuing to ravage the stability and security of Europe, now moves forward. And there have been just incredible developments on the ground in Paris, and it was InfoWars.com reporters Joe Biggs and Michael Zimmerman that were first on the scene this morning. And I want to just recognize the fact that they're engaging in real journalistic activities and that most mainstream media is scared to even get close. Biggs has a military law enforcement bearing, and I could say that Zimmerman looks pretty conservative as well. So they're able to get behind police lines here in the United States and Europe time and time again, and got some extremely powerful footage and videos and got that out very, very quickly. We're going to be going to them here in just a few minutes. Exclusive, this video and audio is up on InfoWars.com along with still images. Exclusive, InfoWars on the scene at terrorist raid films body bags. And this is where seven were arrested. A woman with a suicide vest blew herself up, and a German Shepherd or Alsatian that was trying to pin her down. And so we're going to be talking to Joe Biggs and others in a moment. Then we have the French president openly saying this week they're going to take another 30,000 refugees from Syria, even though it's now admitted. And I have stacks of news, mainstream, what we were telling you months ago, that a large portion are military-age fighters that failed in the fight against Assad in Syria and are now moving on to the new European front. The same fighters were in Libya. They said, we're going to Syria next, 3-4 years ago. Then they said, next, we're going to Europe. They are actually doing it. The European Union is not stupid. Merkel is not stupid. Obama is not stupid. Hollande is not stupid. None of these people are stupid. You've got to ask yourself, what are they going to do when they start shooting down jet airliners, machine gunning schools, attacking theaters, bombing military bases, blowing up shopping centers, you know, blowing up grocery stores? What's going to happen? How does the controlled left, the George Soros run, open society's left, think they're going to get away with this? They're trying to elicit rioting and nationalist responses to then restrict free speech, which Germany's already doing. I don't see how they're going to get away with it. It really shows you how incredibly bold they are. And I keep wondering, what's their next step? Because this is planned to advertise the borders are open, destabilize the Middle East, make a deal with Turkey as a conduit to bring these people in so that the refugee crisis intensifies. Then the story's on InfoWars.com. Turkish fans boo Paris victims, chant Allah Akbar. Shock video illustrates the fact that Islam is the problem. That's Paul Watson's view, and he used to be more what you'd call anti-Islamophobe. And that was when we were bombing Iraq and killing all these innocent Muslims. But these are the non-radical Muslims we kill. Our governments back the radical Muslims who are allied with socialism. The Turkish fans booed victims of the Paris attack and chanted Allah Akbar, God is great, during a minute of silence, illustrating once again how radical Islam is the problem. Islam is the problem. And more, Islam itself has become radicalized, and it's just completely and totally shameful. Because Europe has been very inclusive of Muslims, very inclusive. It's an inclusive culture. And now Obama won't tell 20-plus governors where the refugees are being brought in. This is truly unprecedented. Big raids in the U.S. is nearly 70 are scooped up with ties to ISIS planning attacks reportedly in the U.S. I want to go to this Allah Akbar clip. Then we're going to Paris to talk to Joe Biggs. Paul Watson's rotated this morning back into London and is reporting from there, where they're also saying they're bracing for attacks. So we've got multiple reporters on the continent and also in the U.K. on the big island of Albion. But first, let's go to the shock clip at the soccer game during the moment of silence where the Turkish fans celebrate the situation in a game against Greece. Here it is. What primitive cultures do. Now, they've taken our primitive nationalist culture, which is pretty much all we have, and told us our culture's laying down, and then they merge us with cultures that are all about dominating, with the head imam of Jerusalem, the head imam of Australia, the grand mufti of Australia saying, your women are ours, you are weak, we are conquering you, which is true. We are the biggest, but most pathetic chumps on the planet. You can't go to Turkey or Saudi Arabia and preach your religion or go after people's women or, get free stuff. Only in Chumpville, only in the West that was so wealthy because of the free market, do we have the great grandkids, the spoiled rotten brats of every race, color, and creed, bitching and complaining about all the freedom we've got. And the very criminals opening our borders are the ones taking our liberties, hard fought, paid for in blood, back to the Magna Carta in 1215, fought over for 800 years this year, all being fed down a garbage disposal, all being fed down a toilet, because that's our real wealth, is the Bill of Rights and Constitution. Without that rule book, we're just more dirt. That's what makes us American. It's what makes us Western, is that we supposedly had more checks and balances. But all our controlled media did was tell us how bad we were all day instead of telling us how bad other countries were. And the people would misconstrue what I was saying, how dare you bash America when you criticize the police state? America isn't the police state. America isn't the globalist. America isn't the private foreign-owned Federal Reserve. I'm attacking the false institutions dissolving our republic. We take you now live to northern Paris, in medieval Paris, oldest part of the city, founded by the Romans more than 2,100 years ago, then in Gaul, where Joe Biggs, former Army Staff Sergeant, combat vet, is reporting on the front lines. I call this combat journalism, Joe. You're right there. You got the tips. You were there right after the raid today before anybody else. Congratulations to you and Mr. Zimmerman. Tell us what you witnessed.
Well, actually, when we got there, they had pushed off a lot of people, and there was a lot of press, probably over 100 people, but they were in this whole little area, just like we've seen in Ferguson, things like
that's
that.
That's what I meant. You're the only ones that got it.
Yeah, exactly. So what happened is we got there, and I'm looking around, and I'm like, there's got to be another way that we can get around and find out what's going on. Like, that just doesn't make sense. They're not going to have every corner blocked off. So we hiked, blocks and blocks, and went down every corridor through every little alleyway, and every time we were met by police, they would push us out of the way. And then eventually I got to one, and I just sat there for a little while. We shot a video, and Zimmerman started uploading it. And then when I looked over my shoulder to go see if there was anybody still there, the police had moved away for a little bit. So I ran down this alleyway, and at that point, that's when I saw the body laying on the ground. They had this forensics team all around it, and they were taking pictures, and there was no camera crews except for me. There was no one out there except for the police and the investigators. And so I snapped some photos of the body underneath the bag, and eventually was able to actually talk to a French police officer. And I asked him, I said, is this one of the ISIS jihadis who was involved in the Paris attack on Friday? And he said, yes. So we were able to get there, with perseverance and pushing through and trying over and over again. And we got it. And it's great to see one of those crazy loons in a body bag and not out there able to hurt anybody else. But at the end of the day, that's still not going to stop this stuff from happening, because you have a lot of people out there who are supporting him, especially the governments, who are allowing these guys to go out and continue these missions. I mean, you have an entire town, Paris is completely just shook up. I went out last night briefly for about an hour and walked around, and there was no one out. And I went into different bars and stores, and I said, is this normal? And they said, no, people are scared. They don't want to go out. So, I mean, it's definitely has a toll on the economy, and people just are staying inside. And then you have what happened today with the explosions, the raids. You have a suicide bomber, a female at that, running out, setting herself off, killing herself and that police dog. And then we were able to witness the other terrorist that was killed. And like you said earlier, seven other people were brought in. But I have some news as well. It just takes a second. From an update, the suspected Islamic militants uncovered in a Paris suburb by police were planning an attack on the French capital's La Défense business district. A source close to the investigation and two police sources said today. So these guys weren't just in hiding. These guys were actually active. They were trying to gather more people. This was a terrorist cell, and they were going to do more attacks throughout Paris. So that was stopped today.
Well, the reason it's important you got in there is we don't just believe governments when they say they've got somebody they've killed. There's a suicide bomber. We need to see it and document it. And that's why it's important that you got in there, Joe, and got that. I know you're going to be uploading more, but let me ask you this question. How on earth do you think the French president, the German chancellor, the U.S. president, and others think they're going to get away with bringing in record numbers of Islamicists when even the FBI admits a bunch of them are ISIS and are busting them even while Obama brings them in today? This is crazy.
Exactly. I mean, at the end of the day, we have to find out where these guys are being funded from. Who do they benefit from, and who are they really speaking for? You know, I highly doubt that, you know, a lot of these people in the government here want to allow this stuff to kind of happen. But there's somebody back there who's got money in their pocket, and they're pushing for it, and they're allowing those borders to stay open. They're allowing these people to come in.
Yeah, it's called Saudi Arabia that basically runs the White House to a great extent, and it's running this proxy war. Obama better have some aces in his hole, boy, because I'm telling you, I've never seen more brazen, arrogant, in-our-face behavior. Joe Beggs, stay there. We're coming right back to you at the scene of the takedown of the suspected terrorist. There appear to be Arabic military-age men that Joe says are basically stalking them right now, taking photos. They've been followed by cars. They are below the Sacred Heart Cathedral in Paris that overlooks the city from the north towards the south. If you're a TV viewer, we're going to cut to some shots of the cathedral, and I'm going to have Zimmerman pan out over the city at night so you can see what our crew is seeing. But I want to take you now back to Joe, and then I want to finish up in this segment and have Joe move to another location so that they're safer, because reporters and others have been threatened. People have been attacked. There have been now, what, 8 attacks total, 6 that night, 2 others, and a lot of other reports that are just being pawned off as crime that I'm also seeing in the news. But Joe, you say that you're picking up on some folks basically stalking you?
Yeah, there's been 3 guys that have been kind of like walking around. They finally eventually left because of this van behind me. As you can see, it's full of police with submachine guns. So that definitely makes me feel a little bit better, because I am in a gun-free zone and I don't have that ability, that Second Amendment, like I do back in Texas, back in America, to protect myself from one of these guys. So it's definitely nice to have that right there. But yeah, these guys kept walking around. They're three guys, and they just kind of like taking a few pictures and looking at us, and they don't look happy at all. I mean, they looking at me like they, you know, like to kick my head in.
So, and you were telling us off air, they don't have the bearing of police who've been leaving you alone and been friendly. You're saying they had the bearing of, they looked Arabic?
Yes.
And so experience that in Iraq and Afghanistan. What did you pick up?
Just the way they're staying together. They're staying in a group, and they keep walking around, and they're trying to almost seems like they're trying to be intimidating by maybe scaring us to go away, or either to see if we'll move, then they can follow us somewhere else. So either way, I've got a good eye. I've been around this stuff before in combat, and we'll be all right.
Other points you want to add or need to add, developments that have been unfolding since we talked to you 23 hours ago?
Like you said, we got up this morning. We heard the initial reports about the raid that began around 4:20 a.m. Paris time. I actually slept with my windows open, so I actually heard a loud boom from where I was at, and I didn't really quite think much of it until when I finally woke up and looked at my phone and saw what was going on. I said, hey, we got to get out there. We need to go find out what's going on. So we headed out to called St. Denis. It's basically like a suburb northeast of Paris. It's about a 30-minute drive out there. And like you said, just tons and tons of people. And the thing to think about is, you know, the way ISIS is, the way a lot of these people are, they go to these events after they happen. They sit there in the crowd and film. You know, it makes you think how many actual active jihadists were in that crowd laughing, about what's going on, about the attacks on Friday, taking pictures, shooting video, trying to get out information about people they might find as a threat to send back to their base in Syria or Iraq, to wherever they have their different leaders, and planning on things like that. So it's definitely something to think about. This is an ongoing situation. And like you said earlier, they're expecting more attacks to happen over the holidays, and it's a possibility. And like you said, they're allowing, even though these attacks happen, they are going to allow more of these refugees to come through. And like I've said before, not all of them are going to be bad, but all it takes is two or three of them to get together, get a plan, and do something bad. And we saw what happened on Friday. We saw what happened with Charlie Hebdo. Horrible stuff. And people need to remember that that can happen in America.
Well, we've already had the recruiting centers hit, Fort Hood, the rest of it, and our media just spins it and says it's not jihad. How are they going to do that when hundreds get killed at a shopping mall or at a college or at a Jewish center? How are they going to cover that up, Joe Biggs?
I mean, I don't get how Salon can even come out and say that they do this because they're stressed out. I've been stressed out. I've been in combat, and not one time did I ever think about strapping a suicide vest to myself and blowing myself up. I mean,
let's get Zimmerman to pan to the right there. We've got military troops patrolling with assault rifles there. That looks like military, and we've got jogger going by. Those are French military, aren't they, Joe?
Yes, sir, they are. And they've been around to a lot of different places. During the daytime, you haven't seen that much activity as far as a lot of patrolling. You'll see some soldiers from now, every now and then. But at nighttime, that's really when you start to see them come out and they're patrolling, you know, with the guns in hand, ready to go. So that's what they're expecting, is something to happen in the cover of darkness like it's happened before.
Again, I'll go back to this question. How is the establishment going to get away with it when there are more attacks? Clearly, this is out of Syria. This is the failed ISIS armies are coming into the West. This is their retreat forward into their next theater. They admit that. They said that back in February. They're following a plan. There's going to be a whole bunch more attacks now. Undoubtedly, we've been predicting it. It's here. I want to come back to you and do five more minutes, Joe, and ask you that question and ask the listeners that question. What is the end game here? This is crazy town. 800-259-9231. 800-259-9231. Especially if you're in Europe or in Paris or in Belgium, we'd love to hear from you. Or if you're military or police, we'd like to get your take on this. I mean, we know they're going to take our liberties because of this, but they're going to get in trouble.
Rallying patriots worldwide in defense of human liberty. It's Alex Jones.
Generals gathered in their masses.
It comes down to this.
At black masses.
The social engineers, the radical left, the collectivists, the big banks, the ultra-rich that publicly own it and run it, they act like we don't exist now. They're just global secret treaties that openly get rid of our free speech. They're openly in the news now saying, yeah, we are going to shut down free speech on the internet for conservatives and libertarians. We are going to shut down Matt Drudge. I mean, that was in the news this week twice. Members of Congress, members of the FCC, members of the telecommunications commissions just saying, yeah, we're coming after your speech. Yeah, we're coming with forced inoculations. Yeah, the IRS is going to persecute you for your political views. Yeah, we're going to open the borders up and bring people in and give them all this free stuff. Yeah, we're going to bring in millions. First it was 10,000, then 100,000, now 300,000. It's going to be millions of Middle Eastern refugees as a clash of civilizations to then allow them to be radicalized, allow them to attack us, and then bomb whatever country they want in the Middle East that isn't even connected to the groups that are attacking us. We'll never go after Saudi Arabia. No, in fact, they're in the news today. Secretary Kerry, the usual suspects, saying we've got to hit Assad. We've got to remove Assad. He's the reason ISIS is in Libya. No, he's not the reason ISIS is in Libya and in Syria, because they want to go into Libya, too. They're already bombing there all over. Is because he hasn't been taken out. No, they're there because the West put them in there. And it's even in mainstream news. Look at that headline. Wahhabism to ISIS. how Saudi Arabia exported the main source of global terrorism. That's by Karen Armstrong, the New Statesman. And that's all over the news. That's admitted. And our government is backing it. The French government is backing it. The Turkish government is backing it. The German government is backing it. The UK government is backing it. And then they sit here with a straight face and say, our hearts and prayers are with the French. Our hearts and prayers are with the Russians when their jetliner gets blown up and 224 people get killed. So answer my question. To answer my question, the answer to my question is, it is to destabilize the West, it is to create a clash of civilizations, it is the pretext for the surveillance grid and the police state that isn't used to protect us, but used to suppress our political speech. Look at how the Patriot Act and Homeland Security and the IRS are all pointed at returning veterans, gun owners, conservatives, libertarians, and Christians. I rest my case. And it's the same story in Europe. And they think we're so politically ignorant. They think we're so politically dumb. To be specific, they think their constituents are so politically ignorant and so politically dumb and so politically correct that they will sit there and watch sports stadiums blown up and theaters shot up and blown up and jetliners blown up and hundreds of thousands of Christians killed in the Middle East and will sit there with a straight face and support the president of France, the chancellor of Germany, the president of the United States when they engage in this operation. And the Muslim nations should be upset about this because then the West will use this to come in and dominate and bomb your countries. But again, at a primitive level, it feels way too good to go to a Greek/Turkey soccer game during the moment of silence, the 1 minute of silence for the dead French and others that were in France, the moment of silence for the dead and dying from last Friday's attack, and they chant Allah Akbar and celebrate it. In fact, that's my next question for Joe Biggs. Joe Biggs, Turkey, supposedly our ally, and then they have the crowd chanting Allah Akbar during the moment of silence, which means God is great, in a sign of disrespect against those that died. What type of freakish attitude is that?
I mean, it's disgusting. I mean, it's not just in Turkey, though. I mean, look at what happens with Black Lives Matter. The fact that they could do a hashtag F Paris, and then you've got a guy coming out with a rap video. There's just some sick, disgusting people out there. And to answer your first question, do I think that the elites are going to be able to get away with this continuously? Honestly, yeah. I think it's going to continue to happen for one reason, the lack of real journalism out there. There's only a few sources out there. There's us, there's Vice. I mean, but you've got mainstream media outlets who reach millions of people are completely controlled by the government. Of course, you know, we're out here telling what's going on. We're telling the truth. But you've got these mainstream media outlets who are basically cutting off our head because they're just pumping lies out, not even controlling, not even trying to do anything truthful or journalistic in any way. They'd rather spark up controversies, have people, you know, bitch and complain about a Starbucks coffee cup or something like that. I mean, it's ridiculous. And that is why, because the governments tell them what to say and they do it. They have no reason to even tell the truth. They're bought out. Most of those anchors probably take money in the pocket. It's sickening. And that's why, because most people out there aren't awake, and all they think and they believe is real journalism is when they turn on the BBC or when they turn on Fox News or CNN. And they don't know that there's a whole other world out there that they aren't even privy to, actual knowledge, truth, freedom, liberty, what we promote. But these people turn on and they see what's going on and go, well, we should, you know, take in the Syrian refugees. You know, you're a racist, basically, if you, you know, don't want to have your head chopped off or be killed or blown up by an Islamic terrorist, because to even say something like that would mean you're racist and you're inhumane. And that's just getting pumped down everyone's throat, and the government's behind it. Every kind of government. That's all they do. It was just like with the with Gary Webb when he wrote the Dark Alliance. The Washington Times got hit up by the CIA, and they're telling them to pump out other stuff and attack them and completely killed the thing. That's what happens. It's disgusting.
And it's now come out that the editor of the LA Times that wrote hit pieces against him as well was CIA. And, of course, it later came out in Congress that everything Webb had exposed was true. He had a new book coming out. I was talking to him 2 weeks before he died that proved everything he'd said. So they dropped by his house and shot him twice in the head.
Yep, those pesky double tap suicides. Those keep happening to people somehow. I mean, and people just don't see past that. I mean, it really does, in the pit of my stomach, make me want to throw up and vomit when there's so many people out here in this world that don't just open their eyes and don't go, and you know, is what I'm seeing, is that what's really happening? Is there something behind the curtain? Should I look more? And a lot of people just, they turn on and they accept whatever it is, whatever's pumped down their throat, and they want more. And they're happy to be ignorant.
Well, it's like your friend, Michael Hastings. He told family, you talked to his wife, he told others, they're after me, Homeland Security. They might try to kill me. I'm running. An hour later, his car blows up in front of everyone. And we're just told, don't even investigate foul play.
Yeah, I mean, that's the mainstream media. That's them having their, their cords programmed. They're telling them, the government's going, hey, man, you need to push this narrative. Forget what actually happened. Forget the truth. Forget the fact that a vehicle traveling down a straight path somehow exploded and then hit a tree. And then when it hit the tree, it had ejected the engine down the road in the same original path of travel. I mean, that's crazy that people will just turn on the TV and go, okay, yeah, that makes sense, when it's never happened. And that's what's happening in the world. So yes, the answer to your question is yes, I think this stuff will continue to happen. It will happen all the time until we get more people to wake up and start digging and start asking questions. And we need people out there. We need journalists who are out there in these mainstream media positions to start doing their job and stop taking the money and stop sitting there and just falsifying everything else for someone else's agenda. Do the right thing. Tell the truth. It's disgusting. We need more people to come out here and push through barricades and go in and find out what's going on. It shouldn't just take me and other people to go out and do that. We need everyone that hungry to find out what's going on, because there's another story. It's never what they're pushing out.
I agree.
Have to go out there and dig and find it.
Joe, I want to get another update from you in about an hour and a half from now, or at about 1:35 or so Central.
Okay.
You're doing some great reporting. You and Mr. Zimmerman, get out there, continue, and we'll do another update with you coming up in about an hour and a half. Thank you, Joe Biggs.
Roger that.
There he goes from North Paris. They're at the Sacred Heart Cathedral with French commandos patrolling behind him and a van full of police with submachine guns. Notice it's guns that are going to protect, and men with guns that are going to protect the French citizens from the occupying force of giant radical Muslim ghettos, where they don't want Europeans to even enter or come in their restaurants. Now, you can parallel that to the Middle Easterners I know that own jewelry shops, carpet shops, restaurants, coffee shops, businesses, hotels, gyms. They love Westerners. They want to be Western. They want to live in nice houses. They want their daughters to be free. They're still Muslims. They still follow the God of Abraham. They're good people. They're all over the place, and they can't stand what they see happening. And then they end up getting persecuted and discriminated against because our governments protect the radicals. Our governments are bringing them in because it's the radical Islamicists that go together like a horse and carriage with the socialists, with the Trotskyites, with the Leninists, with the Maoists, with the Black Lives Matter, Ford Foundation, garbage. And they are pushing it big time. There are a lot of great Muslims and Arabs in this country who are doctors and lawyers and scientists who do want to be in a free country and a free world. Those people are not a threat to this country. But what is a threat to this country is radical Islamicists funded by Saudi Arabia and by our criminal government being protected to create the clash of civilizations. So the controlled left says, let them in, claim they're not terrorists, claim nothing's happening. That's how you are culturally open. No, you're culturally open by shutting down radicals and going after them and not letting them come in this country. That makes it safe for everyone that wants to live in a free country to live together and have their freedom, because you've got freedom of speech and freedom of religion and freedom to do what you want as long as you don't hurt somebody else. Instead, we're told, those of us that are constitutionalists, that we've got to give up our way of lives to the left and teach our kids what they say and worship the gods they say worship, the state. I'm not going to be part of that. We're going to go to break here in a few minutes and go to Matt, Rob, Brandon, John, Jeremy, and others. The toll-free number is 800-259-9231. I have a very exciting announcement I want to make right now, and that's that Deep Cleanse would be our bestseller ever. But it's produced by one of the top herbology facilities in the country. It's cold-pressed. It's got literally hundreds of different concentrated herbs, zeolites, nanocolloidal zeolites, organic compounds that are just known to absolutely clean out the body. The Rolls Royce of all-in-one cleansing at a very low price. It would be our best all-time seller. It sold out both times we got it in a week. This is the biggest shipment ever, so it may last up to 2 weeks, but it will sell out before Christmas. If you want to take advantage of it, it's available at InfoWarsLife.com or by calling toll-free 888-253-3139. Here is my breakdown with Dr. Group on the amazing Deep Cleanse at InfoWarsLife.com.
We spent over a year trying to put together something for somebody, for everybody, especially working with Alex and the team over here at InfoWars Life, to create a product that would focus on helping people clean environmental chemicals and toxins from their body and how to detox those from the system. We have a lot of good products over here from the X2, all of the liver cleanse products, the Oxy powder, the Winter Sun. I mean, you name it, down the line, everything is great. Today, though, I'm really excited because this is something that you guys have the exclusive for, which is a product called Deep Cleanse. And why I'm so excited about it is it's a unique formula, almost like the iodine crystals. We have two unique products that nobody in the world has. One of the most amazing ingredients in the world, and it's called Shilajit, and it's actually known as blood of the mountain or rock sweat because thousands of years ago, as a matter of fact, this ingredient was only given to the elite of the elite. Thousands of years ago, up in the Himalayan mountains and in Tibet.
And we wanted to put this in stuff for a couple years, but we couldn't get an organic form.
Right. I mean,
so let's explain. I mean, this stuff's so good, we couldn't put it out for years.
Right. So I had to actually, it's kind of like the iodine crystals, finding a source deep in the earth that we could get the cleanest source available. But in Tibet and in Nepal and in the Himalayan mountains, thousands of years ago, they watched these monkeys. And during the summer months, the monkeys would go up into the mountains.
Now you're being racist against monkeys.
And they would pick this black substance from the mountains. And so in Russia, they actually, it grows in Russia in the mountains and in the Himalayas and only in the summer. And Shilajit is actually the decomposition of up to 7,000 different medicinal herbs. So it decomposes, all these different herbs decompose in the Himalayan mountains and the volcanic soil up there. And what happens in the summertime,
so it's almost like an oil from,
yes, it's high in fulvic acid, it's high in humic acid.
Because they're always claiming oil is really from decomposed animals and plants. There is some oil that is based from fossils, but most of it's really abiotic. But so this is a true fossil source? I mean, explain it to me.
It is it's really the decomposition, like I said, of over 7,000 different medicinal herbs and plants. And with the rocks and the pressure deep in the mountains, it freezes. And during the summertime and the pressures build it up.
It oozes out.
So it literally oozes out of the mountain.
It's like rock sap.
It's like rock sap. It's black and it's highly nutritious. Even in the 1980s, when the Olympic athletes in Russia were accused of being on steroids, they found out that they were actually been given Shilajit because it works as an anabolic as well. And it builds muscles. It's a big dose in there. The second big main ingredient in there is a volcanic zeolite concentrate. And what this formula is designed to do, the Shilajit and the zeolites have a real strong negative charge. All the metals and chemicals and PCBs and VOCs have positive charges. So these go in, they grab it, and then they safely eliminate it through the body so you can become healthy. I mean, this is an amazing formula. I wish I actually had it, but because this was an exclusive InfoWars Life product, you're the only one in the world that has this formula now. And you know, there is going to be a limited supply available when you sell out because you can only harvest this once a year.
How do people take it? How is it recommended that this be done? Just a daily dose?
Yeah, daily dose. The instructions are on the label. You know, of course, I kind of modify it for each individual. It depends on what your lifestyle is. I mean, honestly, the best thing to do is for you to avoid all these chemicals and toxins in your environment and try to identify them and start slowly reducing them. But personally, I'm going to probably take it every day, every other day, and I'll probably go with about a dropper full to maybe two dropper fulls. I don't expose myself to any chemicals, but...
But it's just out there in the air. It's in everything. Well, I mean, I'll tell you what I do.
The air,
I've never been a supplement person. I keep it now on the kitchen table with a Lazy Susan. And when I just make myself take it all every day, I feel so much better. InfoWarsLife.com. Please also support our local AM and FM affiliates. Support their local sponsors or become a sponsor and spread the word. Because these aren't just great products. This is how we fund this independent operation. We're not taxpayer funded like MSNBC or NPR. And neither is your local station. So support them, folks. This is a war. And that is a little promo piece because the product is back in stock. And speak of the devil, I'm going to take a dropper full of Deep Cleanse because I've been out of it for a few weeks myself, even though I had a few bottles at home. It's gone because I give it to my children as well. I'm going to take a drop of that. Then I'm going to take a dropper, or maybe a little bit more, of Super Male Vitality. All available at InfoWarsLife.com or by calling 888-253-3139. Super Male Vitality is in stock. We also have 15% off on Knockout that has 9 different compounds known to give you deeper, more restful sleep, like melatonin, L-tryptophan, valerian root, and again, other compounds. And just the melatonin, a similar dose or the same dose in stores is normally $19.95. We have the same dose in this capsule, and it's $16.95 when it's discounted, $19.95 when it isn't. And you get all the other compounds that are in good dosages as well. So it's a really good deal. And it's all of them fused together to hit different areas of your physiology to give you deeper, more restful sleep. I know it certainly works for me and my children. So again, 888-253-3139. And your purchase of the products makes everything we do here possible. Christmas is almost here. The Hillary for Prison t-shirt is a limited edition. We will stop selling it when Christmas comes. We may have a few left and it may go into January, but we're not ordering any more of these. We just put in the last order yesterday for these, Made in America, Hillary for Prison 2016 on the front, on the back, Legalize Freedom, InfoWars.com. This limited edition shirt, you support the InfoWar, spread the word, meet like-minded people, upset totalitarian leftist, Hillary for Prison, InfoWarsStore.com. Now, that said, ladies and gentlemen, there's a lot of international news, global news, economic news, political news I haven't gotten to, a bunch of clips I haven't gotten to. Lord Monckton is going to be joining us for part of the next hour. He will be at the UN conference that's the most important UN conference ever, in their own words, openly announcing planetary government. This is so huge, fusing it with the TPP and other treaties. He will be joining us, tying in to the situation in Paris and what's been unfolding there as well. So that is coming up. I also have clips of representative in Congress talking about Paris attacks being a chilling reminder that the U.S. needs stricter gun laws. Simply amazing to demonize the Second Amendment when people end up attacking. The answer is more guns. France has taken the guns. So it's just the inversion of reality that we talk so much about. Also, we have several other very, very important clips we're going to be getting to. But right now, let's go to your phone calls. You've heard my question. I want to get your take on it. How do the politicians think they're going to get away with bringing these people in who then attack us in asymmetrical warfare? And is the end game just a clash of civilizations and more chaos? Matt in Canada, thanks for calling. Thanks for holding. You're on the air.
Hey, Alex. How's it going?
Good.
That's good, man. Sorry, the way I'm able to watch your show, I'm usually a day or two behind. So I'm sorry I'm not going to ask a question regarding your question. My point of view is on the Paris attacks is this, and France has been in the headlines a lot lately, what with backing Palestine and not signing TTIP and indicting the Rothschild. I was just wondering if this could be a retaliation towards that kind of, hey, smarten up, France, get your act together, false way kind of deal, or what do you think?
Well, if there was evidence that Israel was attacking France, we would cover it. I mean, Israel did attack the USS Liberty to blame Egypt, and we've exposed that. Israel ran the Levant affair. Israel bombed some of its own buildings and blamed on enemies before. Israel has done that. That's been in the news. That's something that some Israeli governments have done. Our government's done false flags. The French have done it in Operation Gladio, along with our governments. So that's certainly a possibility. I just haven't seen the evidence of that. ISIS is a real organization that's been turned loose. France didn't really recognize Israel. They recognized a UN resolution. But some people could argue France is being hit because they did that. Israel didn't make the Muslims run my camera crew off in Belgium or in Paris. I mean, there are radical Islamicists that, you know, the Imam of Jerusalem saying Western women belong to Muslims. I mean, is that Israel's fault, too?
I do believe that it was ISIS, 100%. I'm just saying, do you think that maybe because Germany is allowing all these refugees in, besides the civil disobedience that's going on there, they haven't seen the extent that Paris just did. So I'm...
Well, I tend to hear what you're saying. Germany red carpets the radical Muslims like nobody else. And going back to World War II, a lot of the radical Muslims liked Germany. They liked Hitler. The French occupied large parts of the Middle East, Syria, North Africa, Libya. And so the French are not liked in many of those sectors and circles. So it's kind of an old tit for tat. If you ask my view, this may be a false flag. We just haven't seen mounting evidence of it. And I think your question is a good one. It's just some of the people that are saying, hey, Alex, why aren't you saying Israel did this? I don't see the evidence that Israel was behind this event. Again, I don't see the fact that Israel is behind radical Islam. Israel has been caught with some Arabic agents stirring up Muslims in Lebanon and in Israel. That came out in the Jerusalem Post, Haaretz, and it also came out in UPI about 12 years ago. Headline, Israel created fake Al-Qaeda groups and had them bomb Israel as a pretext to take freedoms from the press. So I don't think it's bad to say Israel could be involved. I just don't see evidence of that. The fact that Israel has been involved in false flags means that you can say Israel may be involved in this. But is Israel involved in most terror attacks? Not from my experience. We'll be right back. Stay with us. So this is Saudi Arabia, folks.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Here's what we know. 14 years after 9/11, there's a multi-100,000 man army being Western supported, running all over the world, bombing, murdering, and killing. Our government's answers is to bring in unvetted, unlimited refugees out of the very country overrun with jihadis into our nations, and says it's a conspiracy theory that any of them might ever attack us, even as they attack us. Obama then makes jokes about widows attacking us, and one of them blows up with a suicide vest today, and one of our reporters is able to cover it. Let's go back to your phone calls right now. Let's talk to Brandon, calling in from FEMA Region 3. Brandon, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, Alex. I'm an ex-Marine, and one thing that I find so laughable about this fraudulent war on terror, I enlisted in the Marine Corps in 2003 after I graduated. But that's what you do in the family. And I noticed once I came back from Iraq, I started noticing it was Facebook from feeling the police training to kill terrorists, to kill the American people. I can't tell you how many countless urban warfare drills we conducted where we were rounding up 9/11 truthers, pro-lifers. I'm a boy on deer hat. It's a total fraud, and until I don't see how these people are going to get away with this. I really don't.
Sure, so you're answering the question. They're going to flip the police state that's supposedly for the radical Muslim threat onto veterans, gun owners, 9/11 truthers, patriots. They're going to flip it onto those of us that know what's going on.
Yeah, I mean, I've literally seen drills where you have Army Rangers and Delta Force there, and they would pick up M240s and mow down 9/11 truthers, peaceful protesters, patriots, exposing the lies and
Well, Brandon, your phone's breaking up, and I know they do these type of drills because I've been sent some video of it. I've talked to countless military people that have been part of it. But you really should fly down to Austin, and we should interview you or others that were part of these drills. So tell folks and try to speak right into your telephone so we get this clearly, where you would be, what you would be doing, and what response did you guys have when you learned that you were training to take on people that were aware that criminals aided and abetted the terrorists on 9/11?
I'm gonna say this. I remember countless times, even in Iraq, we would get intelligence to go, and we would end up blowing this poor guy's door down. It was five nights in a row, and it's like, look, we've been there about four times. There's no terrorists there, and they'd be shut up and do what you're told, or, you know, you're going to get court-martialed. And it's like, even the officers would be freaked out when you have people that were probably bare minimum CIA telling them that your troops are going to go here and hit this house, even though they've already been there three times. And if you don't say anything, Colonel, you're going to get court-martialed or killed. I mean, look what happened to Pat Tillman. He wouldn't go along with the fraud. They had to kill him. No one's safe. That's what I'm
saying. No, I know. But,
I mean,
they have these urban warfare drills where they target the political groups they're scared of. And they're scared of 9/11 truthers because we exposed the criminal elements of our government were bare minimum protecting the Saudi Arabian attack. Now that's all come out. We're vindicated. Now you see why the criminals in government are so scared of us, because, look, we're pointing out they're bringing in the Islamic threat again. They're doing it all over again, Brandon, and it's so serious. So let me ask you this. What would you guys in these joint exercises with Army and the Marines together, what would you say or think when they were practicing mowing down 9/11 truthers?
It's like, okay, this is wrong. This is morally wrong. It doesn't matter if you believe, if you're bitterly opposed to someone saying a government states terror attacks. Governments throughout history have done. Every government's been involved in false flags in one way or another, or PSYOPs. And it's, I mean, Delta, a lot of the special forces guys would be totally freaked out about this because, I mean, these guys are being trained to do things that they know is high treason, and they know it's probably punishable by the death penalty.
Well, you know they're being watched to see their response. They should just act like they love it, go along with it, and just be embedded inside the occupied government. And that's really probably the right thing to do. It's all a test for you.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
That's right, folks. I am under the TPP. Congress wasn't even allowed to read it, but I live in an occupied country where now the vast majority of the federal laws are made or affected by secret international bodies. Lord Christopher Monckton, one of the heads of the fastest-growing party in Europe and the U.K., UKIP is going to be joining us for the balance of the hour, and 80%+ of UK laws, the government admits, are now made by the unelected EU bureaucracy. The EU Parliament is only ceremonial and can make recommendations. This global governance system is now uncloaking itself because it's now operating in plain view. It's now going operational. The Pope, 3 months ago, called for a planetary government, a world government with climate change initiatives and climate taxes to monitor, track, and tax. And now, as Lord Monckton warned us months ago, it's been confirmed. They want a world court with a world enforcement body, and even Reuters reported last week, open discussions of arresting Americans that don't agree with anthropogenic climate change. It's gone from freezing to warming to, if you don't believe humans make the summer and the winter come, you are a terrorist. You cannot make this up. And we have the 2015 United Nations Climate Change Conference coming up to be held in Paris from November 30th to December 11th. The French president 2 weeks ago announced they would lock down the borders starting in late November to protect the conference. But now you've seen the terror attacks. Their answer is bring in unlimited millions of, quote, migrants from war-torn Syria, most of them failed jihadis in the war to topple Assad. I want to ask Lord Monckton what he thinks the end game is there as well. But this is an epic time to be alive. We have yesterday in a Turkey versus Greek football game during the 1 minute of silence for the dead in France last Friday the 13th. 1 minute of chanting Allah Akbar and laughing. We have our reporters in Paris on the ground getting the exclusive video of the body bag of the suicide bomber woman that blew herself up killing a police dog. That's on Infowars.com, as well as the Allah Akbar chanting. This is truly unprecedented. And make no mistake, Peter Sutherland, who helped create the EU, who helped sell out Irish sovereignty, getting them to sign on as well, is now the head of the UN body on borders and migration. And he has said that we want to get rid of sovereignty and get rid of Europe. So they admit this. It's so naked. Why are they so arrogant? Or is it a con game? Are they truly in deep trouble? Is their agenda in trouble? I think it's a little bit of both. Lord Monckton, of course, was chief advisor to Margaret Thatcher. He's an inventor. He's also run major newspapers in the United Kingdom, and he heads up the Science and Public Policy Center. He also promotes the website What's Up With That, where many of his articles and peer-reviewed journals are published. He's had the most read scientific paper, Western paper in Chinese history, published earlier this year on the fraud of man-made climate change published. And we now have, just giving you a briefing here before he gives us the full briefing, Putin has come out saying it's all a fraud and a military program to shut down nation states and impoverish populations. China is moving more in that direction. So we're having some devastating victories. But the plan to implode sovereign nations is only moving faster because they're in trouble and want to use order out of chaos to bring us to our knees. That's my expert analysis in 4 minutes. We'll now get Lord Monckton's breakdown. Christopher Monckton, thank you for coming on with us.
Well, Alex, it's always a pleasure.
Where should we start? I threw out about 10 different topics there, but I know they're all intertwined. What is the state?
I think one of the most topical ones, obviously, is this Paris business, the bombing that happened there, and 150-odd people killed, hundreds more wounded. And then, as you say, at this Greece versus Turkey football match, the Islamic fans there chanting Allahu Akbar almost in a triumphalist way in what was supposed to be a minute's silence in respect for the souls of the dead who'd been killed. And this does show what a breakdown of normal civilized communication there is now between the Islamic world and the rest of the world. Because remember, the rest of the world doesn't do this sort of thing. Something like 95% of all acts of terrorism worldwide over the last quarter of a century have been and are and continue to be in the name of Allah. They are by Islamic extremists. And the extraordinary thing is how seldom you hear leaders of Islam coming out and saying this is unacceptable, even after the latest real outrage in Paris against ordinary innocent civilians. The more or less the entire Islamic world had absolutely nothing public to say. There was one little group of scholars that said something and one imam that said something, but basically very, very little was said by the supposedly moderate Islam supporters, Muslims, to express their disdain for the terrorists who blew these people up. Now, one of the things that we did, I think, very successfully in dealing with the terrorism in Northern Ireland, which was the last big bout of terror that we had in the UK, and that lasted from about 1969 until roughly the mid-80s when Margaret Thatcher began to get on top of it. One of the things that she did was to engage the population and leadership in the south of Ireland on the side of civilization against the terrorists. And once it was clear to the IRA terrorists that they no longer had any shred of support, either from the Irish government or from the Irish people, that is when they imploded. And we've got to work the same trick now with Islam. We've got to say to the mullahs worldwide, every time there is a terrorist act, we expect you to get onto your local TV station, get into your local newspaper, get into your pulpit and preach against the terror. And if we see you doing this, and if they see you doing this, they who are claiming to act in the name of Allah, if you tell them they're not and that they have no support or comfort from you, that will make a big difference. I'm afraid we also have to point the finger here at Saudi Arabia, because through oil funding of the Wahhabist, very extreme Wahhabist sect, they have set up Wahhabist madrasas, which are schools for children, right across the Islamic crescent, all the way up through all the stands at the south end of Russia and up to Pakistan, and right across the Far East as well, in places like Singapore and Malaysia, which have heavy Islamic populations, all the way down through northern to central Africa, again, heavy Islamic populations. And here, these Wahhabist madrasas, which are virtually invisible, nobody seems to realize they're there, but they're there now by their tens of thousands. And in those madrasas, all they learn all day for 5 or 6 years is how to recite bits out of the Quran and how to hate the West. And this is a serious problem. The kids who go to these madrasas are not getting any of the education in civilization, which from the 9th to the 12th centuries made Islam the center of the world's learning. If you went to Damascus or Baghdad from the 9th to the 12th centuries, there were no dark ages there as there were in Christian Europe. There, civilization and scholarship flourished.
By the way, let me stop you there, because I get criticized when I point out history. You're a scholar of history. I enjoy learning history as well. You're right. Islam, during some periods, was actually very scientific, not warlike, and very advanced. And then it goes into other periods where it's completely barbarous. And so there have been periods where the Middle East was a light in the world. How could we get back to that?
That, of course, is the absolutely correct question. And I think we have missed one or two tricks. Let me give you an example. You remember the Charlie Hebdo episode again in Paris, just in January of this year, where 19 journalists doing bad cartoons were shot up by a pair of Islamic brothers, again hollering Allahu Akbar as they went in with their machine guns and mowed everybody down indiscriminately. And of course, there was rightly outrage at that. But we did two things wrong in response to that. First of all, we should have got together, all the newspaper editors should have got together and agreed that they would all print one each of these cartoons, so as to say to the terrorists, now that you've done this, you have spread the cartoons rather than shutting them down. In fact, the opposite happened. Nobody would print the cartoons, and even Charlie Hebdo itself said, well, we can't go on drawing these.
Facebook wouldn't let us share them. We tried to put it out.
And who wouldn't let you?
Facebook wouldn't let us share them. We tried to, and not because we wanted to bash people's religion.
That is the trouble. You see, we are being craven in the face of terror. And that is always a mistake. It simply encourages the terror if you do that. And in Britain, we had the same problem because the police were going around interviewing news agents where people had been trying to buy copies of Charlie Hebdo, asking for the names and addresses of the people who wanted to buy copies of Charlie Hebdo. That was completely the wrong response. But the other thing we got wrong, and this, if there are any of our Muslim brothers and sisters listening to this, let me say something that I think you would like me to say, and it's right that I should say it. I said this actually when I was preaching to the undergraduates in Churchill College Chapel at Cambridge just 2 weeks ago. And I said to them, look, the other trick we missed when the Charlie Hebdo thing happened is we didn't point out, as we should have done, that some of those cartoons, one or two of them, they weren't just bad. They were gratuitously offensive. They were deliberately, maliciously evil. They were really, really nasty cartoons. And they should not have been printed.
Because they were so pornographic.
Because it was combining pornography with insult to the deeply held beliefs of Muslims. And that is not appropriate in any civilized society. That should not
happen. Well, it shouldn't be in a free newspaper put on newsstands. I know that. Right there, Lord Monckton. I want to ask you, what is the West thinking bringing in millions of radical Muslims when they know they're going to end up engaging in terror attacks? How does the political class intend to get away with that? We'll be back on the other side. Then we'll look at this huge UN conference, the most important ever, about to be held in Paris, coming up in just 12 days. This is a short segment. A long 18-minute segment is coming up, and we will take some of your phone calls towards the end of Lord Monckton's interview with us. This huge UN summit, openly to cement world government, is coming up. We have exposed these conferences before. We have forced the mainstream media to cover it, and things like the Copenhagen Treaty and the Danish text and things like that have been shot down. In the past, they've tried to keep Lord Monckton out of the conferences. He's had to famously parachute in. This time, I'm told he's going to be part of the conference. So we'll speak about that in the next segment. But all of this is interconnected. Lord Monckton, finishing up on the situation in Paris, millions of Islamists coming in from areas just chock full of suicide bombers and radicals. We've already seen military bases attacked here, recruiting centers. Our media says it's not Islamic when it is. What is the rationale? What is the end game of Merkel and Hollande and Obama? What are they thinking?
I don't think they are thinking. That's the truth of it. I mean, just finishing off on that previous point, what we should do is have a blasphemy law as we always did in the past. And that was actually a sensible law. It wasn't to deprive people of the freedom to speak against other people's religion, but it did stop them from being gratuitously offensive to the point where somebody might want to turn violent. That was the reason for it. And we need to rethink that. But now on what to do about all these migrants, this is a huge problem in Europe at the moment. Of course, it's going to be a huge problem in America if Obama does try to order the state about by executive order. He will be, as you rightly pointed out in your splendid introduction, exceeding his powers under the Kentucky provision if he tries to do that. And so I hope that the governors of those states who are being robust will continue to be robust, stand firm. And admittedly, they would now eventually end up in the Supreme Court, which, of course, has become a bit of a joke. It's now got people on it who really, in no sense, are qualified to be judges that are appointed by Obama. And so the outcome there is likely to be dire. In the end, I think that what the left have got to worry about, and worry about big time in the United States, is the Republicans getting the trifecta and holding on to both houses of Congress in the 2016 election and winning the White House. Because at last, the Republicans have really quite a number of very credible candidates for the White House, which they didn't have in the last two elections. And so it could be that the Republicans take all three, in which case I hope the GOP will get up and running on this, because all they've got to do now is just slow Obama down and stop this. You've got a picture now of the tide of refugees pouring into Europe. And why has that happened? Because Europe abandoned the idea of policing its borders with its fellow European states. Only Britain, partly thanks to the existence of the English Channel and partly thanks to conservative members of parliament and, of course, now UKIP members of parliament who have resisted the idea of allowing our borders to be dismantled, we have retained some sort of border control. But even then, they're getting in by the hundreds of thousands every year, even into the UK. And there's no doubt that our systems can't cope. We are all dangerously near to national level bankruptcy because the governments have been borrowing too much.
And isn't that the Cloward and Piven endgame? Is just bring in as many people as you can, bankrupt the system into total socialism?
I think there is a very large element of let's give up and let us force totalitarianism on the people by making any other option just seem so dreadful, so that they beg to have so-called security, which in effect means losing their freedom. And that, I'm sure, is the totalitarian's game. Of course, one of the things that is interesting is that the left, which is the modern-day expression of totalitarianism, the National Socialists in Germany, followed by the Communist Socialists, now the Environmentalist Socialists, these are the three main groups of socialism. They have all killed tens of millions. The Environmentalist Socialists, after all, had the ban on DDT put in place when it was just on the point of extinguishing malaria from the world, and the numbers of people who were dying of malaria have been reduced to 50,000 a year worldwide. It's now closer to 1 million a year. It's been like that for the 40 years ever since they banned DDT. So that the environmental left have got blood on their hands just as much as the Nazis and the communists who were their predecessors had on their hands. And there is no doubt that the alliance, and it's becoming a more and more explicit alliance between the hard left and the Islam movement, is very, very dangerous.
You're right, a sickening alliance between the hard left that wants to wreck the West and radical Islam that wants to wreck it. In their shared hatred, they are brothers. Lord Monson, we've got to go to break. Stay right there. We'll come back to you on the other side to get into this very important UN conference that is coming up. Stay with us, Infowars.com.
He's going the distance. He's going for speed.
Crashing through the lies and disinformation, it's Alex Jones.
Lord Monckton leaves us here in about 25 minutes. I know we got loaded phones. If folks want to hold, I'm going to get to you in the next hour. We have open phones the next hour and a lot of other news I haven't gotten to. If not, you can hang up or call back. The number to join us is 800-259-9231. But I will try to go to some of these calls while Lord Monckton's with us because it's also on the topic of globalism, open borders, forcing cultures to integrate into each other while governments play the part of referees in a larger great game of divide and conquer. But before we go any further, one of the most popular, if not the most popular product we've ever put out is back in stock. Survival Shield Nascent Iodine X2, the good halogen that so many people are deficient in, is our overall bestseller. Then Super Male Vitality. But Deep Cleanse is one of our newer products. In the last year, we've produced it twice, but it's so hard to get the Himalayan Shilajit that is thousands of different plant compounds that form a natural oil in the glacial mountains and then excretes in the summer. It's so hard to get truly organic Shilajit that we only come out with this a few times a year. We have a limited run. It is concentrated Shilajit and then a whole bunch of other known compounds as well. Deep Cleanse is back, and it's got incredible five-star reviews from third-party sites like Power Reviews. Jack in Western New York says, since I started using this product, I'm feeling much better than before. My family also uses it with excellent results. Thank you. That's a five-star review. Here's another one, 65 years young, Central Texas. I am grateful for this product. I feel much healthier for using this great product. Thank you for your support. Deep Cleanse is back in right now at InfoWarsLife.com or simply call toll-free 888-253-3139. Also, Knockout is one of the products we put out that is one of the best deals, best products you're going to find anywhere. Leading competitors with the same dose of melatonin at stores. Same number of caplets, same amount of melatonin, cost $19.95, $16.95, you name it. It's $16.95 right now on sale with eight other compounds, organic L-tryptophan, organic valerian root. The list goes on and on. So you'd have to buy nine bottles of different things to have what is in one bottle of this, and it's the regular recommended dose in here. A good, healthy dose of each gives me the best sleep ever. I don't have to take it every night, but some nights I do take it if I'm kind of wound up, had too much coffee. I kind of get in a manic phase. Knockout does the job. And speaking of brain pills, we've got Brain Force that's got all the known compounds to boost clarity, focus, you name it. And your purchases of these products make all this possible. show. It's a win-win. Get high-quality products, fund the tip of the spear in the fight for human liberty, InfoWarsLife.com, or call toll-free 888-253-3139. And we have a whole bunch of Made in America t-shirts. We do limited editions a few times a year. Hillary for prison. On the back it says, legalize freedom, InfoWars.com. Great conversation starter. Great way to spread the word. Great way to expose the criminality of Benghazi and the IRS persecution and Fast and Furious and so much more. It's only $19.95. It's limited edition. We've done the final run. It's coming in next week. We just ordered more of these to be produced. And then that's it. We will never make this shirt again. And your purchase, again, makes this transmission possible. So get your collectible limited edition Hillary for prison shirt at InfoWarsLife.com, InfoWarsStore.com, or 888-253-3139. Now, Lord Monckton, I want to finish up here on the Putin situation, then get into the global treaty. Here is a clip of Putin, not just the article, where a few days ago he said a lot of the G20 countries being attacked by terrorists have actually been involved supporting ISIS. Let's go to that clip.
The reporter asked Putin, as far as I understand, one of the central themes during the summit has become the fight against terrorism. And it is evident that we cannot have an effective war on terrorism without the fight against the ones who finance the terrorists. Has there been any discussion during the summit of any specific ways to do so? What were the points of the discussion, and were there any decisions reached?
Yes, of course. This was one of the key subjects, the war on terrorism. Especially after the tragic events of hostage taking and deaths of people in Paris. And of course, we all understand and spoke about this, that it is necessary to cut the finance routes to the terrorist organizations. I provided examples based on our data on the financing of different Islamic State units by private individuals. This money, as we have established, comes from 40 countries, and there are some of the G20 members among them.
All right, now that's more truth from Putin. Again, I'm not some Russia worshiper here, but he's attacking ISIS. He's saying global warming is a concerted fraud to bankrupt nation states and impoverish people and selectively enforce feudalism, to read his full quotes. It sounds like he's been listening to Lord Monckton. How big a deal is it to have Vladimir Putin come out when he's going to be one of the main people at this UN conference that starts in 12 days in Paris? How big a deal is that, Lord Monckton?
I don't think one can really underestimate the significance of this. It's very, very important. And I'll tell you a bit of history. Back in 2004, Putin asked one of his scientific advisors, in fact, his chief scientific advisor at the time, Dr. Andrei Ilarionov, whom I know, whether global warming was a problem or not, and could he please find out by holding an international conference of experts at the Kremlin. So what Ilarionov did, he looked around the world and he found the country throughout the world that was the most true-believing country in this whole rubbish, as far as the governing class was concerned. And that country, of course, was the United Kingdom. And so he invited Sir David King, then the government's chief scientist, and now its chief negotiator at the Paris summit on the climate question. And in fact, I was in Cambridge yesterday to hear Sir David King give a talk at the mathematics department, and a lot of rubbish he talked as well. But what was significant about this 2004 conference was that Ilarionov also invited skeptics. Now, at that time, he didn't know of me, and I wasn't really a skeptic at that time. I hadn't looked at the science, and when I did, I became a skeptic. But he invited noted skeptics from all around the world. And when Sir David King arrived at Sheremetyevo Airport, and he found various skeptics getting off planes from all over the place and heading off to the government cars, he turned round and tried to get back into the British plane and go back to the UK, because he is entirely incapable of debating this issue. I know, because I've debated it with him before, and his blood was all over the floor at the end of it. And so He was pretty much arrested by the FSB and made to go to the Kremlin, where he was made to give his presentation. And towards the end of it, Dr. Roy Spencer, who keeps the satellite temperature records that show no global warming now for 18 years, 6 months, 18 years, 9 months, got up and said, "Oh, for heaven's sake, Sir David, you're talking complete rubbish about this particular point. The facts are as follows." And King, who is completely incapable of taking any criticism or arguing any point on climate science because he doesn't know any, he knows the party line, but that's all he knows, flounced out, and the FSB made to stop him. And Ilarionov went up to the lectern and just waved them aside and said, "No, let him go, because Sir David King has disgraced the name of Britain, disgraced the name of science, disgraced the name of King, and disgraced the name of knighthood." He said, "One thing he has done, though, is he has told us just what rubbish the official case in support of the global warming alarm is, and the view that I think the Russian Academy of Sciences will take is a skeptical one, because the skeptics here have been willing to put their point forward in debate, willing to be challenged by the other side, and have met those challenges well." Now, I know this happened because I have spoken to Ilarionov himself about it, as well as to several others who were there. And 6 months later, Putin told Ilarionov that the Russian Academy must change its mind on this question, because he had done a deal with Tony Blair, again in Britain, by which Tony Blair would get Russia most favored nation status at the World Trade Organization, allowing tariff walls to come tumbling down and Russia to trade more freely with the rest of the world, provided that Russia changed its tune and gave in to Tony Blair on the global warming question. And the significance of Putin now realizing he can no longer maintain that agreement he reached with Tony Blair is that Putin, who is very hard-headed and very clear about what Russia's interest is and isn't, has now realized that he has less of an interest in selling overpriced gas via the pipelines into Europe at four times the world price, which he does at the moment. He has less of an interest in maintaining that than in stopping the worldwide economic damage that is being done by this ludicrous global warming nonsense. So I think it's extremely healthy and very encouraging that at last, the leader of a major nation has come out openly and said, "Look, folks, this is rubbish."
I hate to say it, but on so many fronts, Russia is heroically fighting ISIS for real. Russia is exposing global carbon taxes as an enslavement mechanism, a military economic takeover. Russia is trying to deploy all sorts of new technologies to the third world. I mean, I know Russia's been through the whole Marxist nightmare for 80 years and now is trying to struggle out of it, but you're a well-traveled man in all over the world. In your analysis, what is the power makeup of the world? We know it's been the Anglo-American establishment, the UK, the US, with Europe kind of in the middle, Russia and China. But now if you pull back, what would you say if it's a unipolar, a bipolar, a tripolar? What is the makeup of the world?
Very good question.
Or is it collectivist on one end and free marketers on the other? Go ahead.
The central divide in politics, which was first meditated upon by the Chinese philosophers in the early Chinese Empire, in the time of Confucius, was indeed between the libertarians and the totalitarians, the division that you yourself have just spoken of, and that remains the division today. But when you get somebody like Putin coming along, what he does is to do what the old Foreign Office hand who taught me geopolitics, a wonderful man called Tom Greenwell, who was the chief leader writer of the Yorkshire Post, and I was his deputy. We would go drinking together, and he would teach me all this. He said the first duty of anyone in the Foreign Office is to uphold the national interest of Britain and ask the question, what's in it for us? Now, Putin, in every one of the things you've just described that he does, is upholding Russia's national interest, which in many respects coincides with the global interest, though it doesn't coincide with the global totalitarian interest. And this is very interesting.
So they're not going along with the parasitic, centralized, crony capitalist, centralized fraud system. So what's good for Russia is good for the rest of the world as well.
That's right, because Russia, curiously, through an authoritarian and very vigorous president, is actually becoming libertarian in the policies that it follows, because it has suddenly discovered that libertarianism is more in its interest than totalitarianism. And of course, this is also true in the United States. It's also true in Britain, that it would be in our interest to be libertarian. But the classe politique, the governing class, in certainly in Britain, the Conservative Party, is now a totalitarian party. It's no longer a libertarian party. UKIP has replaced it as the Libertarian Party. And then you have in the United States, half of the Republican Party is like the Conservative Party in Britain. It is totalitarian, and it goes along with the left. Like we call this the Boehner faction, if you like. But now you've got Ryan as a slightly more vigorous speaker. I'm hoping that the Republicans will clear out the nest of rhinos in the Republican National Committee, which is where a lot of the trouble comes from, and put a few Tea Partiers in there to ginger it up a bit. And then I think we can start see libertarianism taking over once again.
And a new renaissance. So let's shift gears then. You, don't brag, but it's true, are more involved even more than Senator Inhofe and others they demonize and openly call for arresting now, even in U.S. newspapers, in sabotaging with the truth, infiltrating, getting the inside scoops on these treaties that they want to ratify in secret before rolling out against us. You have literally been the Obi-Wan Kenobi sneaking on board the Death Star at least six times I know of and blowing it up before it's operational. Now, you've said this latest global conference starting in 12 days in Paris is the worst ever. This is really, they're coming out of the closet, their open announcement of world government, open announcement of climate courts to prosecute yourself and me and others. So how do we get you on board this? I mean, I guess they've invited you on board the Death Star this time, but what are we facing?
No, they won't want to let me in, but they're not going to be able to keep me out, as they will discover. But the point is this, that yes, this is, they are going to try to use the national and international courts as their means of enforcing totalitarianism worldwide in the name of the climate. But what is fascinating is that even the UK so-called Supreme Court, which used to be the old Judicial Committee of the House of Lords, now it's got its own separate building just across from Parliament, and it calls itself the Supreme Court. They had a climate propaganda Hate the Skeptics meeting in September. And I have just today had an answer from the Supreme Court to my Freedom of Information questions about it. And the answer is, rather not to my surprise, that they're not going to tell me very much unless I force them to, which I am going to do, because they breached the law by not replying to me in time. So here we've got the highest court in the land in Britain broke the law because it didn't reply to my Freedom of Information request within the statutory limit. But this propaganda event was very much intended to be tied in with Paris, to tied in with the idea of an international climate court. And there was a speaker there called Philippe Sands, QC, a leading barrister, a leading lawyer in London. And he came out, he's a lefty, of course, he came out and said that intelligent, rational, informed skeptics who write in the scientific journals should be put on trial and their claims should be scotched by the courts. And this meeting was held in courtroom number one on the Supreme Court itself, and it was broadcast. That was the astonishing, that's how I knew about it. It was broadcast. And, of course, this means the Supreme Court now can't hear any climate change-related cases at all because it has declared a prejudice in that direction. There was a Supreme Court justice who chaired the session and congratulated Philippe Sands on his speech after he had said these outrageous things. And, of course, as you also rightly said, we are sabotaging them with the truth, but they are determined to lock us up and execute us if they possibly
That's
can.
That's right. In fact, when we come back, I'll show the Reuters article. There was one also out of RasmussenReports.net where they said, in America, it's not popular to lock up the skeptics, but they had a large percentage of Democrats want us arrested. I mean, what sickening totalitarians. By the way, I'm going to show them something for TV viewers they don't like. Vampires don't like it. The UN voted, as you know, 5 years ago to say the sun has nothing to do with climate. Well, we're going to put the sun up behind me when we come back because it is the main driver of climate, and it doesn't matter what they say. It doesn't matter what they push. It is the main driver. So there it is. Look at it. That's a fact.
Man thinks because he rules it us, he can do with it as he please.
Alex Jones here back live. Lord Monckton's agreed to stay with us 20 minutes the next hour to take your phone calls. We're going to start going to those in a moment. Rob and Jeremy and Jason and Bryant and Mike, appreciate you holding. Then at the bottom of the hour, Joe Biggs and Michael Zimmerman, InfoWars.com reporters, will join us with more updates. They were already at the scene of the terrorists blowing themselves up in Paris today and got the exclusive video and photos of them being put in body bags. And they are reportedly being followed right now by jihadis. And Biggs is saying he's more concerned in Paris than he's been in places like Afghanistan. Biggs was blown up twice in armored vehicles, hit with shrapnel another time, and shot another time. And, of course, that was covered by Rolling Stone magazine and Esquire. Both did profiles with him in them. That's the kind of combat units he was in. So a lot of craziness going on there with whole no-go areas in Paris and in Brussels, Belgium, where they come up to Westerners and say, get out. You try to walk in a convenience store, they go, get out. I mean, this is the tolerance of the left. And Lord Monckton, I want to go to these calls, but to discuss the mental illness of the controlled left, they're not even leftists. Thomas Jefferson was a leftist, in my view. They literally hate the West like their parents so much that they're like bringing hoodlums in to strangle their mother and father in their beds because they feel like that's a coming of age. I mean, I really think it is a mental illness that they're destroying the nest that made them so powerful. They want to shut off our industry. They want to break up our families. They want to bring in groups that absolutely hate our culture. I mean, these really are mentally ill people who, I guess, would come to the Christmas party and, you know, overturn the table for fun. I mean, they just seem like Grinches.
Very interesting. At the meeting a couple of days ago at the Cambridge Mathematics Department, which I attended with fascination, to hear the professor of physics, two other eminent professors there, and then David King. It was very interesting watching and listening to the audience. But they were, of course, very nearly all left-wing, because virtually everybody in academia, from the students to the professors, is left-wing. They vote left, they live off the state, they live off the taxpayer. And at one point, I mentioned in a very mild way that the difference between the ozone hole problem and the global warming problem is the ozone hole problem had more or less got the science right. It had exaggerated it a bit, but it basically got it right. Whereas in the global warming, they've simply got a lot of the science wrong, and therefore the science isn't settled. And there were kind of murmurs of fury from all round the room. They were too polite to shriek out in the loud way that some audiences were. This was Cambridge, after all, my own alma mater. But it was very interesting, the automatic, instinctive going along with the party line without having the faintest idea whether the party line had any scientific justification or not. And this is a feature of the left. They get every decision wrong. What you've just said is quite right. They got the DDT thing completely wrong. Every environmental scare they dream up, they're basically wrong about it. Here they are trying to close down coal-fired power stations. Our own mad climate change secretary here has announced there will be no more coal-fired power stations operating in Britain within 10 years of now. An entire industry that my heroes...
The whole country was built on coal. Look at all your famous statesmen pointing that out, that... modern UK was built on coal.
Built on coal and surrounded by fish. We've now shut down the coal and we've allowed the EU to destroy all the fish. I mean, it's just unbelievable, the self-destructive instincts of the left, because, of course, in destroying our civilization, they destroy themselves as well. So it is silly. It's very sad.
Well, Lord Monckton, stay there. We've got to start the next hour. We've got to start the next hour. But I just want to go out with a clip from Dartmouth College 2 days ago with people in the study hall being screamed at and flipped off because they're white. The same mental illness. We're going to go out to break with this. Come back with your phone call. Stay with us. Total disconnect with reality. Third hour coming up. Tell friends and family, tune in right now. This is leftist brainwashing, working on these people.
Black lives matter.
Do you think
black lives matter?
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Lord Monckton's our guest. You've been super troopers holding. We'll take five or six of your calls and get some comments from Lord Monckton on each of those, and then a little bit more elaboration on how big this UN conference is coming up that hopefully he'll be getting into. Let's go ahead and go to Rob in Ohio. You're on the air. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Alex. How you doing?
Good, friend.
Good. Hey, I just wanted to go back, you know, to your part of the show where you're talking to Joe Biggs, and Joe is absolutely right. There's just a lot of people out here that want to drink the Kool-Aid and accept what the media tells them. And I, for one, am just appreciative of what you guys do. People like Joe Biggs and Paul Watson, you got over there just putting their neck on the line, really, to bring us real information. And you got people like Paul Ryan out here saying, oh, we'll let these refugees in if they can assure us that they're not part of this regime. And, you know, how does somebody assure you that they're not going to be part of a regime?
Well, they've got fake passports. 80-some percent are military-age men. It's a war zone. You know, let Saudi Arabia take them. They haven't taken one person. Lord Monckton, what do you make of Saudi Arabia lobbying us to take all these refugees, offering to build 200 madrasas in Europe this year alone? I mean, Saudi Arabia is an aggressive imperialist force.
Well, the danger there is they're not taking very many themselves. They're pushing them all in our direction because they know that these people are trouble. And, of course, the idea of them setting up madrasas, these are going to be Wahhabist madrasas. These are going to be preaching terror and revolution. That's the trouble. And we must not import any more Saudi Arabian extremist Islamic ideology into the West. It's got to stop. And we've also got to start liberating the countries of the Muslim world from this hideous Wahhabist sect, which is very extreme. And it really lies at the root of where this terrorism comes from.
Well, sir, I mean, the left loves to call imperialist this, imperialist that. But isn't Saudi Arabia honchoing the 79% Sunnis, many of which are good people, trying to command them in an imperialist fashion to basically be the vanguard of a type of religious imperialism?
Well, of course, the word for it is jihad. It's a violent religious imperialism. And Saudi Arabia is playing quite a dangerous double game. In the one hand, cozying up to the West, or is it the West cozying up to Saudi Arabia because it's so rich? I can never work out which it is. And on the other, spreading this terror via the Wahhabist madrasas, which don't give anything like a recognizable wide and liberal education, liberal in the sense of the old-fashioned, not the left-wing sense of the term, liberal in the sense of you learn a little bit about everything. You have a wide and properly broad education. They don't get that in these Wahhabist madrasas, and so to import those into Western nations would be a huge mistake, and we must try to make sure that that does not happen.
Sure.
We must try to make sure that in those that may have already been established, the educational rules of each of our countries are followed so that they do offer something recognizably as a broad national curriculum.
Sure, these should not be accredited in any way. You're absolutely right.
No, that's right.
Well, if you look at the wild-eyedness of any, I don't care if they're white, Arabic, black, that go through these schools, they come out looking like Charlie Manson. They've been put through cult programming. They're totally wild-eyed. It's dangerous. Rob, we're going to break in 1 minute. More calls in the next long segment, but comment to what Lord Monckton just said.
Yeah, I just agree absolutely with what he said. And, you know, what it is people aren't going to be privy to this, as Joe Biggs stated earlier. They're not going to be made privy to it until they come over here and start spraying a bunch of people, and it's going to take a major, major act, just some kind of big all-out war before people are going to open their eyes to it. People need to wake up, you know. People got their head in the sands, they're drinking the Kool-Aid, and we just need more people like you, Alex, and Joe Biggs, and Paul Watson. We need them out there.
Well, thank you, sir. We're just doing our job, but we're going to come back with Lord Monckton. I know this. They arrested 69 jihadis today in the U.S. alone that they believe were about to launch ISIS-sponsored attacks. That's only happening because Obama's flooding us with these immigrants. He wants to roll up terror networks so he doesn't get embarrassed. They already knew they were there.
Aligns himself with the truth, and it's time for you to choose a side. You're listening to Alex Jones.
We've got articles coming up after Lord Monckton leaves us. Americans are rushing to buy guns in record numbers. it. We have Democrats actually coming out and saying that we should take the guns away because of Paris. We've got a clip of that coming up from C-SPAN. And before Lord Monckton leaves us, Christopher Monckton of the Science and Public Policy Institute joins us. Before we leave today, I'm going to get into these articles. Rasmussen, little support for punishing global warming foes. Now, you'd think that's positive. Oh, there's little support. And then it says 68% of likely voters oppose the government investigating and prosecuting scientists and others, including major corporations who question global warming. I mean, imagine that. They're just introducing the idea of arresting us and calling for it. And that ties in with this article. All over the country, they have new interpretations of wetlands, streams, and rivers, claiming up to 5 miles on either side of a creek or river, and the feds are taking it. The BLM is in Texas on the Red River with Oklahoma, taking tens of thousands of acres, homes, you name it, in some cases owned for over 100 years from ranchers and farmers. The feds already have half the country. I mean, this is just crazy. This is criminal. Let's go to phone calls for Lord Monckton. I'll get his take on both those before he leaves us. Jeremy in Kansas, thanks for holding her on the air.
Yes, Alex, thank you. I called in with a larger critique of what I perceive as the direction that your operation is heading in, specifically around Paris, and what I see as the danger of falling into becoming a weaponized cultural fascist counterpart to the weaponized cultural Marxism on the fake left. But I do want to deal with Lord Monckton's main issue here in terms of I think that we need to transcend the entire debate about the role of carbon in the atmosphere by looking at two very plain facts. One has to do with the weaponization of geoengineering that could really be served by covering more deeply the work of Michael J. Murphy and Dane Wigington. And then the other one is that we in the West would have been headed away from extractive fuels almost a century ago people such as farmers who were learning how to grow carbon neutral alcohol and build cars out of plant-based plastics. And so people should.
Yeah, but here's the deal. Here's the deal. I think carbon's good. We're a carbon-based life form. The planet's carbon-starved from the metrics I've seen going back millions of years. And so, regardless, they want carbon taxes and regulations. And I'll come back to you after Monckton's gone to hear your fascist critique of the show. I want to hear this. But here's what I do. I oppose whatever the globalists are up to. So you can call it fascist, call it whatever you want, that I don't want totally open borders and that I don't want to shut down all the coal power plants. I mean, I don't want to commit suicide. Lord Monckton, do you want to respond to what?
Yes, I do. Let's be very, very clear about this. One should take decisions on scientific questions in a scientific and not in a political way. And the fact is that the science around alarm about global warming has completely collapsed. There's been 18 years and 9 months with a zero trend in global warming. You have to go back further than that to get any trend at all, and then not very much. There's really been no significant warming for a quarter of a century. And in that quarter of a century, getting on for half of man's entire emissions of CO2 and other greenhouse gases since 1750 have been emitted, and the temperature has hardly responded at all.
But what about the UN vote to counter you and others and a bunch of astrophysicists that went public saying the sun is the cycle? We went into warming. Now we've been cooling for 18 years because of it. I mean, it's the sun. And then they have a vote and say the sun isn't the main driver of climate. In fact, they say it doesn't affect it. They're totally discredited right there.
Well, of course they are. And I see that you've got a picture of the sun behind you. And for those who think you always are somewhere on the edge of outer space, Alex, it looks as though you are.
I am. Look at me. I'm floating. I love Al Gore.
Floating very close to the sun. But to get back to Jeremy's point, the fact is one must take scientific decisions scientifically. Let me tell you some of the problems, very briefly, with the official science. Thing number one is that actually, if you use mainstream methods, we would only expect to see half a Celsius degree of warming by 2100. Is that a problem? No, of course it isn't. So they've tried to conceal the fact that that is what their own data, methods, models, and results show. They've lied about it.
And that's with Cook numbers hiding the decline.
This is a different fraud. It is the central fraud, where they know that their own methods, however wrong they are, say to them that it's only going to be about half a Celsius degree of warming to 2100, and they say, oh, it's going to be 2.2 or it might even be 4. Nonsense. They know it's only going to be half a degree on their own methods, but their own methods still exaggerate. Because it's just been discovered that the effect of CO2 on the climate has been overstated in all the models by 40%. It's also been discovered that the so-called temperature feedbacks that multiply the effect of CO2 on temperature by about 3 in the original models. They've already cut that down to multiplying it by only 2 in the current generation of models, and that hugely cuts back on the amount of warming we'd expect. But now, Professor Ray Bates, who made an excellent speech on this in Moscow quite recently, again, one of the influences on Putin, has said that climate sensitivity, which is the amount of warming you get if you double the CO2 in the atmosphere, is not going to be 3 or 4 Celsius degrees. It's going to be 0.3 to 0.4. Now, this is a person who, when I debated against him on the subject of the climate 3 years ago, he was a true believer, putting out the official line.
So they're losing ground. Let's go to some more calls. Jeremy, I'll put you on hold. I'll come back to you after Monken's gone, since you want to get into the fact that I'm countering the terror overseas and saying it's real. I'm saying it's real because it's not manufactured. 9/11's been proven correct that Saudi Arabia was involved. Our government ordered to stand down. I've had the members of Congress on that have seen the secret documents. They let the attacks take place to take our liberties and to attack Iraq that did nothing. Okay? I've been proven right. Now, the difference is this is a real Islamic invasion, and I'm opposing it. I'm also opposing taking our liberties to counter it. Okay? They want to bring them in, have the clash of civilizations. I don't want to have that. I don't want to bomb Muslim countries either. Okay? You know, they can be there. They can have hoods on their heads. They can mutilate their daughters. They can kill each other and throw sticks at each other all day if they want to. I don't want to do that. I want to build space bases. I want life extension technologies. I want my daughters to be free. I want the fascist left off my back. Jason in Florida, you're on the air. Go ahead with Lord Monckton.
Yeah, thank you, Alex, and thank you for your team. The reason why I'm calling is basically I want the people to understand. Like, I don't know if you saw the clip today with Josh Earnest was on Fox News, and they asked him questions about, you know, the vetting for the refugees that are coming in, and you know, he basically stated that the vetting is extremely rigorous, and he used, you know, the names like the CIA and the FBI.
Yeah, well, the FBI's come out and said they're not vetting them, so there you go.
Well, yeah, you know, like,
it's
you
not
know,
happening. The numbers are too great to allow them to vet them properly. And the mistake they made, as Tony Abbott, recently the Prime Minister of Australia, said in a recent visit to Europe, is they should not let any of them in until they have done proper and very detailed checks, and then they should only let them in if it is very clear that they are likely to be genuine
That's
refugees.
Right. You get vetted in your country of origin, not at the country you're coming to.
Precisely. And that if they try to cross our borders, they will be dealt with very, very firmly and put back where they came from. And because we didn't do that, and we acted wet at the outset,
it signaled the flood.
What happened then is that every young man of ambition who wanted to make a bit of money for himself and his family got on the boat and came to Europe because they see Europe as the streets paved with gold. Not all of them are terrorists. I should think actually only a minority of them are, but they are all, or very nearly all, economic migrants. Otherwise, you'd get families, you'd get babushkas, you'd get grandmas, you'd get little kids, you'd get a mixture of people coming. Instead, they're all young men in their 20s.
Well said. Jason, you're absolutely right. I mean, we got Paul Ryan, all of them lying to us, saying they're being vetted. The FBI started doing some vetting and arrested 69 people for terrorism.
That's it. They're not vetting them. We know that a lot of the passports are bogus. They're going through the most rudimentary checks, and they don't have any means of keeping tabs on them once they've let them in. And that's the thing. Once you're in, you can do what you like. Nobody keeps an eye on you.
That's right.
To make sure that you are settling down properly and not planning jihad. And this kind of failure of the security forces to appreciate the scale on which this could happen once in particular Europe had taken down its borders, and then you have Obama being soft, as he always has been, on immigration. The left are always soft on immigration because the first two generations of immigrants vote left. That's why the left always do this. And that's why when the Republicans come back in, they are going to have a very busy agenda. One of the items on that agenda is that all the borders should be tightened up. The border with Mexico, the borders...
Yeah, we've already taken on too many. We've got to absorb these, deprogram them from their Ford Foundation garbage. Jason, did you have anything else you wanted to add?
Yeah, well, my point basically was like, you know, he talks about the biometric system, and I've vetted refugees from Syria, I've vetted refugees from Iraq and Afghanistan, and the system that they use it's called the Batch and Hide system, and the Batch and Hide system basically doesn't even work. I mean, they can't even vet Americans, you know, when you're going for, you know, I'm a veteran from the United States Marine Corps, and after the Marine Corps, I became a contractor, and I was a defense contractor for the Department of Defense, Department of State, and we did all the vetting for, you know, displaced Iraqis and Afghanis and everything, and when we as Americans are signing SF-86 and doing a 20-page background report that goes back 10 and 20 years,
exactly.
I mean, it's impossible to do this for these Syrians, especially when there's nobody to even look at from where they're coming from because they're all displaced. It's impossible.
Well, I'm going to add that, and great point, sir, and you should shoot a video about it. You should write an article about it. We should do a story about it because absolutely, I mean, to get a driver's license, they put you through a big database, and you've lived here your whole life.
Jason, can I say how very nice it is to have someone on who has a background in this and knows about it and knows how much trouble should be taken if you're going to do vetting properly? And, of course, one has to see it a little bit from the side of our own public authorities in that the sheer numbers that are now trying to get in have swamped any attempt to do the kind of vetting. And the danger, if you don't do it, though, is that the militants, the jihadis, can exploit the system and they can feed in as many terrorists as they want.
Well, Lord Monckton, in February, the head of ISIS said, we're going to flood Europe with 500,000 refugees filled with our operatives. We're going to start shooting and bombing you. They said it. We covered it. And the media said we were conspiracy theorists, even though it was in the Daily Mail, the BBC. Even the BBC reported on ISIS's open statements. And so, look, Peter Sutherland, as you know, the head UN envoy over migrants and borders, had Europe's borders go down. They advertised all the freebies. They got everybody to come. The EU wants this. The United States wants this, as you said, because the left thinks it's so sexy to be a radical jihadi. They hate their dad. They hate their mom. They hate George Washington. They hate the Union Jack. You can't even fly that anymore in England, or they try to come arrest you, as you know. They hate freedom. They hate the West. You know, they love all the money. They love all the products. They love all the choices. They love all the freedom. But they think it's really sexy to have a burqa put on their head. And so my question is, how do we counter this type of sniveling weirdness?
Well, I think the first step, and it's really a very straightforward one, is you've got to say we can no longer cope with the numbers that are trying to come in, and therefore we are going to, for a time, until we sort things out, close our borders to those who want to come in. We're just going to say to them, no, you won't be let in, you'll be put straight back on a boat and made to go back home. And I think you have to start there, draw a line in the sand and say, sorry, for the moment we're swamped, we can't do this anymore. And then you take stock and you think, and we have international meetings about it, and we work out a proper plan. The fact is, these are mostly Arab Muslims. It is the primary responsibility of the Arab countries to look after their own. And if they were not able just to pass the problem on to the West, they would be much less willing to sponsor this terror in the way in which Saudi Arabia does indirectly and some other countries do directly. I think we need to take a much tougher line on the Arab world and say, look, this is a problem of your making, and it is for you to sort it out, and don't expect us to take these people in because we can't and because we know that your terrorists, whom your funding has created, are wanting to use this as a mechanism to get their people into our countries, and for the sake of our citizens' good health and survival, we will not tolerate that.
I want to get one more comeback from Jason about our comments to what he just said, but look, when the TSA wants to grope my genitals or wants to ask me why I have grape jelly that I bought at some farmer's market for my mother and say that they could have me arrested when the police set up a checkpoint, want to search my car randomly. It becomes a joke when the border to the south is wide open, when the Border Patrol completes the smuggling process, when Europe brings in known jihadis and protects them, and then when they put all these other people to get jobs in America through all these background checks, it really shows that the security system is there to harass the producers and the citizens and to make sure we're minding our P's and Q's when the UN, the governing class, all the rest of them are above the law. So I want to ask Lord Monckton this and then go back to Jason. How does somebody like Peter Sutherland that heads up all this garbage think he's going to get away with it with a straight face, writing articles for the Financial Times of London where he says, no, we need to get rid of Europe's homogeneity. It's bad that Europe even exists. I mean, it's just he's like speaking space alien. He's so hateful. He's so vicious. He's so ugly in his policies. I mean, this guy, it's a joke. It's almost like what they're doing is so outrageous. They have to make it outrageous to buffalo us because the lie is so big. It's so ridiculous is what I'm getting at.
Well, it's got completely out of hand. The European class politique in particular is no longer subject, as you were saying at the beginning of this program, to any real democratic control. Decisions are being made on 5/6 of our laws by people whom we do not elect. And because they're not, therefore, having to take the feedback from the people that stops them going stupid, they're doing what every dictator does. They become detached from ordinary people. If you remove them one stage further and take them from the EU's bureaucracy and put them in the UN, as so many of them now are, that means they become still further disconnected from any form of reality. And they live in a little world of their own. A niece of mine recently joined the UN, and I happened to mention to her something the other day. She rang up to ask for advice on a speech she was drafting for her superior. And I happened to say something about the global warming thing, and she immediately trotted out the UN line. She'd been completely kind of recruited, if you like, on all the main points that the UN thinks. They become like robots. They become completely disconnected from the real world. And I think one of the things we've got to do is to make absolutely sure that every supranational or global body which wishes to exercise any power of decision-making or lawmaking over us must be elected by us, or it can wield no power over us at all. We must introduce democracy to the international sphere as it has been introduced in the national
sphere. By the way, I agree with you, and the control left. The control left wants this Star Trek future and always says, how dare you be against any type of global discussion? I'm not against global bodies, global discussions, as long as sovereignty is maintained, as long as there's an open vote, as long as, because that's obviously the next step of human development. But this UN thing is a dictatorial, totalitarian mess where in Article 30 it says the UN can abridge any freedom it wants at will.
This is the problem. And the only way to put this right is to make sure that they are elected. And if they're not elected, they can't wield any power or influence. And I would go further. I would say that every treaty, every international treaty that has been made which has put in place an international body, that treaty should automatically be cancelled after 1 year from now if there has been no worldwide election among all the member states participating in that body to elect the people who actually run it. That would apply as much to the EU as it would to the UN itself and the World Bank.
That's right, because it creates its own little kings, its own little viceroys over those agencies. Jason, getting back to the fact of the vetting, there is no vetting. They're vetting fake passports. They're just creating new fake identities. I guess when they bring them in and certify these fake passports, they admit that something like 80% of them are fake. Isn't that actually creating a new fake identity?
It is. They just had the news article where they show that you could actually buy a Syrian passport for $2,000 and fake a whole identity. The main point that I want to get across to all of your listeners is basically that, you know, the vetting, even if they are doing vetting, unless they're taking each individual into a room and waterboarding every single one to get information out of them, which we know they're not doing, they're just not going to prove anything. And the other thing is, I've seen in all the work that I've done as a defense contractor, Americans deceiving our government by, you know, photoshopping DD-214s. I've seen them photoshopping like paramedic and EMT certificates just to make a buck, and they still get through the government and get to go overseas and work. So if we can't catch those people, what makes you think you're going to catch somebody from another country coming into ours, you know, with ill intentions to do something bad?
It's insane. It's insane. Thank you so much. Lord Monckton, we're out of time. Briefly, to read a Rasmussen headline about arresting people that disagree with the government, I mean, it's just getting scary. They're grabbing land everywhere. They're accelerating their land grabs.
That is actually a rather surprising one. It is Bring It On, because the one place where, if you have fair judges, both sides of this climate question will get heard, are in a good old-fashioned adversarial one side against the other case in a court where each side can cross-examine the other. And one of the reasons why so few climate change cases have ever got to the court is the left know this perfectly well. They don't actually want to put any of us into a court, because they know that if they put us into a court, we'll win.
You had Al Gore's film thrown out of the schools in the UK.
By the court. Now, of course, the danger now is that with the Supreme Court of the United Kingdom having come out and declared a policy that people like me, who research and get papers published in the peer-reviewed journals, should be arrested and imprisoned.
It's totally discredited. We're out of time. Thank you, Lord Monckton.
Resistance to tyrants is obedience to God. It's Alex Jones.
You can run. We're about to go back to Joe Biggs with another update before they sign off for the night from Paris, covering the migrant invasion that's being orchestrated by the EU and the globalists. Now the migrants being brought into the United States, but nothing like Europe. It's by the millions there. But if we put up with 100,000, it will be the millions. Then we'll go to Jeremy, Brian, Mike, Sean, and others coming up in the fourth hour of Overdrive. Leanne McAdoo will cover the latest breaking news. She'll also cover Uber strives to be the ultimate in driving and delivery. Now you can order your flu shot via Uber. Also, Texas has a big Texas welcome for Google, self-driving cars, and so much more. She'll be covering the situation, obviously, with the refugees and more. But before I go to Joe Biggs and your phone calls, Deep Cleanse is now back in stock, and if we could keep this in stock, it would be our hands-down bestseller. And we don't ever promote it. We don't really ever even talk about it that much, but the experts out there, the big vitamin nutraceutical consumers that know their stuff, understand this is a game-changing product because how much organic Shilajit it has in it. Shilajit has thousands of different plants and other compounds that concentrated over eons together. And then it, in the summer, basically leaks out of the high mountains there in the Himalayas. Deep Cleanse has that in it and a whole bunch of other ingredients. It's a major game changer. InfoWarsLife.com. Also, if you haven't tried True Nation Iodine, Survival Shield X2, the good halogen, it has done so much for me. I've lost so much weight. I've got so much energy. If you've not tried it, or Brain Force, or Supermel Vitality, or Lung Cleanse, or Silver Bullet, these really are the very best products that we could possibly come up with. And your purchase is what makes the show possible. We need your orders to continue on. We're getting the number of orders we need right now to basically operate, which is a great feat. God bless you. We thank you. Most media is contracting. We've been expanding slowly. Our reach has been expanding fast, but funding's been expanding very slowly. We need to really get more funding in here to have more reporters on the ground, be able to cover more around the world, be able to have more investigative journalists, be able to be on air more hours. It's so important. So thank you, all of you out there that shop at InfoWars Store. That's one word, InfoWarsStore.com. You can also call toll-free. We can answer all your questions, 888-253-3139. We have the best, freshest, high-quality storable foods at the lowest prices at InfoWarsStore.com. We have the best, widest selection of non-GMO heirloom seeds at InfoWarsStore.com. We have the pro-Second Amendment shirts. We have the books, the films, We have the best shortwave radios, the lowest price we could find at InfoWarsStore.com. So when you shop with the good guys, you're funding the tip of the spear in the fight for human liberty. We have had so many victories against gun grabbing, against globalism. We've broken thousands of international news stories over the years. We've had a huge effect. We are the best bang for the buck. So I want to thank you all for your prayers, for spreading the word, and for shopping at InfoWarsStore.com. And for recommending the type of stuff we should carry at InfoWarsStore.com. In fact, I want to put a link up on InfoWarsStore.com at the top saying, you know, what should we carry? Or store recommendations. Because, again, it's all about you taking action. We the people. We are the human intelligence. We are the boots on the ground. We are all in this together. Now, going to Joe Biggs. He's got a sketchy Skype connection, but a final report for the day. We're going to keep him in France the next few days. Then they're going to go to England to show some of the radical jihadi areas that have been taken over, where women are told don't wear skirts. Women are told wear hoods. No alcohol can be sold. This is de facto Sharia law taking place. And again, we're asking, why are the globalists pushing this? Since we talked to you an hour and a half ago, Joe, any new developments?
Roger that. Joe Biggs here with InfoWars.com. We're in downtown Paris. Actually, earlier, I forgot to mention a story I wanted to tell you really quick before I give you a breaking update. We actually held a cab. And when we got into the cab, Alex, the guy says, you know, where would you like to go? And I said, to St. Denis. He goes, whoa. He's like, do you know what is going on there? And I was like, well, yeah. And he goes, no. And he was scared. Like, he gave me this look in his eyes when I said I wanted to go to where the ISIS raid was being conducted. He was about ready to just tell us to get the hell out of the cab and go on. And he took us out that way. He actually dropped us over a mile away. And we had to actually hike in there through the, you know, the suburbs of that area to get over there. So I thought that was very interesting, the fact that the guy was so scared he wouldn't even get close enough to that area. And at this point in time, basically off of Washington Post, I believe it is. Let me pull up the article really quick for you. I have it right here. Yeah, Washington Post, suspected architect of Paris attacks is dead, according to two senior intelligence officials. So I'm not sure if that brings it to three now, three dead today. The female suicide bomber, then the person that we took a picture of outside, who was confirmed to be an ISIS terrorist, or was there another body as well? So that's the one thing I'm still trying to find out, if that was a body that I took a picture of, the mastermind, or was he inside after they threw the explosives and then they found him in there later and they're just now confirming it.
So that is a big development. What time is it on the streets there of Paris?
It is 2040. So 8:40 at night here in Paris. And as you can see, if you look around, there's a lot more people out here tonight than there have been in previous days. I think the word and the news traveling fast about the raid in St. Denis has spread fast and people are out. They're back to normal. I went out last night, like I said, and it was a ghost town. No one was out. I spoke to a few of the different bartenders and shopkeepers, and everyone said that it was not normal for people to be out. And as you can see, it looks like people are starting to go back. They feel a little bit safer, knowing that these people have been either killed or captured in some way. But that doesn't mean that it's over yet. You know, the French prime minister, the president, everyone has said that remain vigilant, that there are possibilities of more attacks coming. You know, the fact that these guys are shacked up and they were ready to conduct another terrorist attack in the business district here in Paris shows you that there is possibility of another cell out here. ISIS has named Paris. It's like one of its top targets that they want to hit. So,
and Paris has brought in record numbers, lovingly, of refugees. And, of course, we know some of the shooters were refugees. That's been confirmed. But Jeremy in Kansas, I want you to hear this caller, was saying that we're in danger of being a fascist paradigm compared to the leftist paradigm. So I want you to hear what Jeremy, Joe Biggs, has to say from Kansas. Jeremy, go ahead and make your point.
Yes, just tying up the solutions to the global warming debate.
No. Hold on. I don't screen your calls, but you said you wanted to get into us being in danger of promoting fascism, basically. So I want you to specifically not get into your solutions for global warming. I don't think there's solutions to global warming. It's not happening. That's another show. I really want you to respond to the claim that you think we're becoming fascist. Go ahead.
Okay. I do want to show respect for the fact that in my days with We Are Change LA, I always felt personally respected by you, and I have learned a lot and have been inspired by you, especially from your terror storm days. But what I've seen in the last few years, and it's really becoming clear with the reporting on the Paris attacks, is a going backwards into the lower levels of what's actually going on here. And, of course, there are cultural Marxists that are being funded by the Ford Foundation, but there are also cultural fascists that you appear to have aligned yourself that are funded by people like the Kochs or Heritage and that type of thing.
Listen, stop right there, because I'm going to let you make your points. I've never gotten one red cent from the Koch brothers. I've had big reporters on, like Greg Palast, who's a liberal, saying the Kochs have given more money to the Democrats than they have Republicans. That's all more figments of the imagination. I don't get any money from big oil, any money from coal, any money from anybody. Take Matt Drudge. Matt Drudge is funded by advertising money by the left, the right, you name it, through ad agencies that buy ads on the internet. It's like Google Ads. I mean, it's just crazy to just throw out there that, oh, you've aligned yourself with people, the Koch brothers. Oh, my gosh. Yes, the Koch brothers. Give me a break. So, see, here's what I'm saying. Something like 9/11 that clearly has inside job written all over it, we expose. But then when they create a real jihad army and turn it loose and open our borders to flood us and have big foundations demonizing anyone that points out they're dissolving sovereignty, I'm against it. Okay, there are real jihadis coming into Syria and now into Europe and the United States. They really are killing people. They really did tell our reporters, get out of here. You're not allowed to be on the streets of Brussels, Belgium. Okay? I don't like any type of totalitarianism, whether it was Nazis or Black Lives Matter or radical Arabs. So specifically, how am I going backwards? How am I engaged in fascism? I want to know. Go ahead.
Yes, that's why I'm calling you and not calling Glenn Beck, because I have faith in the goodness of your
listen,
heart.
Listen, brother, I'm for real. I just want to hear specifically how you think I'm wrong.
Okay, let's deal with September 11th. What I've seen since the days of terror wars is the people who continue to do research in September 11th have found that the core of the September 11th operation led to the core of the deep states of the U.S. and Israel. If Saudi Arabia had any involvement in it, it was about supplying nationals to be blamed as patsies. The Israelis framed them, and the U.S. protected them. But at the core of the operation are buildings being blown up from the inside, including the Pentagon, where people are being targeted who are in able danger and accountants looking for missing trillions. You know, and so this attack in Paris has all the earmarks of Operation Gladio continuing forward into the 21st century. And if you look at the history of terrorism, modern terrorism, the Israelis are at the heart of it with the King David Hotel bombing, where they were willing to kill Jews in the name of the Zionist project, but also through NATO and U.S. CIA intelligence.
Sure, let me expand on all this. I exposed 9/11 before it happened. I exposed it the day it happened. And I know that there are different camps that want to blame this group or that group. There are criminal networks above Western governments that clearly, bare minimum, stood down on 9/11, clearly blew up Building 7, clearly involved. We are the main drivers of exposing all of that. We're now 14 years later, though. When the public turns away from a subject, I still cover it, still have guests on routinely. But I don't get bullied. I'm not talking about callers like you, but other people that call up and say, you better have me on about this, you better cover that, you better cover space beams, all the rest of it. I am not a 9/11-only person. Most people know about Operation Ajax or Gladio or Northwoods because of me, okay? I was the one that exposed it all when it took the most heat to do it. I'm the person that lost most of my affiliates and then, of course, gained them back 14 years ago when I wouldn't shut up about 9/11. So I've been there, done that. Specifically, though, you don't need to launch an Operation Gladio where you stage terror attacks and then frame communists so NATO has an excuse to expand control in Europe when you've brought in real jihadis to do it. And so that's my point. This is a false flag, but the most rudimentary type, because the West created the climate and the conditions to bring in people they knew would do this. Joe Biggs, your take on what he's saying.
Well, with the entire attack, like I said, I've fought these people overseas. They're real. Imagine growing up in an area where you're being bombed. That creates terrorism. Those people hate us. They hate so many people out there. The fact that France is now bombing only adds to the hate. There are real terrorists out there. And when people, all they want to do is bring up the fact that, well, don't you mean CIA instead of ISIS? Don't you mean the U.S. government? Yeah, they helped kickstart the whole thing off. It's just like anything. You can have a child. You can create something. But then once it gets older, guess what? It's going to have a mind of its own and do exactly whatever it wants. So, yes, we funded them to an extent. And, yes, they're allowing things to happen. But guess what? There's a group of guys in Syria and Iraq who probably don't know anything about that. They're just angry and pissed off about what's going on, and they're being sucked into this entire lifestyle, and they feel like they're fighting for something. So every time I hear that, it just gets under my skin. I can't stand it. ISIS magazine, when people do that, it's so one-tracked.
Exactly. ISIS magazine a few months ago came out and attacked InfoWars, and then they put you in their videos. Biggs, they hate you. I've been putting some of their literature, and they said, you know, we do not work for CIA. Do not listen to them, because the fact that we're exposing that the West is setting up Muslims to fall is hurting their recruiting. They admit the number one thing hurting their recruiting is the fact that we're pointing out that they're being set up. Okay,
I did a report 8 months ago with a grandmother in Syria, and she's riding around, and these ISIS guys are kind of patrolling around in their Sharia law area, telling everybody what they can or can't do, and they were yelling at the older lady because she didn't have her face fully covered. And she goes, I know that you're getting your money from the USA. Stop letting them control you. And the ISIS guy goes, yes, we get stuff from America. I mean, so we know that. We're beyond that. We don't have to say that every time. We're here, boots on the ground, giving people live updates about what's going on.
Exactly.
I can't spend all day focusing on the fact that the CIA helped that out. Okay, we know. Everybody knows who watched
this show. We've said it. We've made films. We talk about it constantly. And I notice the more we do shows about 9/11, the more the 9/11 police write articles and call us and say we're not doing enough, like they've terrorized us into covering it or something. Look, we covered it constantly. I'm not mad at Jeremy bringing this up. I'm talking about other people. We're actually trying to stop a clash of civilizations. Dick Cheney wrote the PNAC document with Jeb Bush a year before 9/11, rebuilding America's defenses. Just type it in. You can read it on, you know, Scribs or Wikipedia. They took their website down a few years ago. Used to be the neocon network had it out there. They explain, we're going to finance radical Muslims, have them attack us, then we can invade them, clash of civilizations. We're trying to stop the clash of civilizations where they're putting ISIS pit bulls in our nursery room to maul our babies so they can then point us at Assad, who's innocent, to go take his government out. That's what's happening. Jeremy, you have 1 minute to respond, then I'm going to break, coming back with more calls.
Okay, thank you. Of course, there are, Takfiri, Salafist, Wahhabi cultists who are involved in this, at least for being blamed for it, and probably were involved in the operation. However, we know that that was actually a bulwark of the British Empire's creation of a counter gang against the Arab Muslim world. In terms of countering the fascist cultural potentials with this story, you could have your reporters really dig in on the drill that was running on the morning of that, these allegations of this indestructible passport as exactly the same as September 11th, instead of going this route of immigration, which plays into the hands of the police state. And you see Donald Trump being critiqued by Reason back here in the United States of America for basically empowering...
Okay, that's good. That's good.
Jeremy,
I appreciate your call.
Jeremy,
let me counter
Jeremy,
that.
I got to say this.
We're done. We expose almost every day that Saudi Arabia was created by British intelligence. We did it yesterday with Dr. Pacheco. We popularized all that. Separately, this was a general anti-terrorism drill ahead of the UN summit coming up, not at the exact place, exact time. That's different. And this passport with a suicide bomb being found is not the same as two passports and a fireball being found. It is not exactly the same. It's not even in the same universe. And I'm not arguing with you. I just don't agree with the statements you're making. We'll be right back. Stay with us. All right, I got this segment, one other than Leanne McAdoo takes over. It's very elementary. The West is bringing in radical jihadis who will engage in terror. They will then use those terror attacks to take our liberties. Yeah, the FBI might find some patsies, too. Who knows? They've done it before. We expose it. They don't need to now. Let me tell you, this whole ISIS thing is hot with the left, hot with the gangbangers. I've been telling you this before the media did. I mean, I really do my research. And so they don't need to cook up some bull to get funding now. I'm trying to stop it all being brought in so it doesn't happen, so we don't lose our freedoms. I'm not scared of a few hundred people getting blown up. I don't want it to happen. But I am concerned about what they're going to do to our society on the backs of these jihad attacks that are already happening. In fact, they just ran a story in here that reminded me of this from September 29th. Obama gave 1,500 terrorists asylum and U.S. documents reveal, changing the definition of terrorism to allow them to bring them in. They're bringing in the foreign fighters that already worked for them, retraining them and redeploying them. So there's your false flag right there. Joe Biggs is chomping at the bit to respond to Jeremy.
Oh, yeah. So whenever something like this happens, everyone all of a sudden becomes a forensics expert, an EOD technician, which is an explosive ordnance disposal technician guy, who knows everything about explosives. I'm one person who can actually speak on the subject because I myself have been blown up. I've seen the suicide bombers blow themselves up. The guy in that instance, what he's talking about, had on a belt bomb, which means it would send shrapnel out and hit people in the guts. For him, when it goes off, it's all it's going to do is sever that person in half. The back pocket would be left unscathed, more than likely. The pockets or wherever he had
You're
up
talking
there,
about the passport should have been destroyed. Yes. No, it shouldn't.
No, it's not. That doesn't happen. Every time something like this happens, people are like, there's no blood or there's no this. Not everybody, depending on where you shoot somebody, not everything's Hollywood. It's not a Terminator movie. Not everybody just gets blown up like people automatically hear suicide vest or belt bomb, and they think that everything's going to be demolished. No, it's very small and minute. It's just like a grenade. It's only 5 meters out. I mean, you're going to get a little shrapnel. It's not that crazy. And everyone just goes and their mind starts spinning without even taking the time to sit down and actually properly research what happens in these situations. I'm telling everybody out there, guess what? There's a really good chance that passport was probably untouched.
Well, here's another thing. The average American doesn't travel. We're the most untraveled people in the world, except for North Koreans. They don't carry their passports around. You got to have a passport in Europe to do anything.
Yes, I have mine on me now. I'm going to have mine on me every day that I'm out here. That's what you have to do, because if you get stopped and don't have it, you're screwed. I mean, I just think it's ridiculous that people think that everything's going to be like it is in Hollywood. Stop being brainwashed by the TV and actually find out what happens. And it's not all that it is.
Well, my point is, I'm not mad at the caller, and I get some of his frustrations. They're saying, how did I say all this other stuff was fake, and now I'm saying this is real? Well, used to, Al-Qaeda leaders were like the grandsons of ADL heads and stuff, and Defense Link would upload the videos, and it was all fake. And now these are real armies. This is a real move. This is a proxy war. I mean, this is hardcore. The Arab Spring was Western financed. The globalists are overthrowing our allies. They're destabilizing. They're destabilizing us. I'm opposing the globalist program. It's very, very simple, Joe.
Go back to the day after Michael Brown was being killed. The Black Lives Matter people out there were fine. But since then, and over, a year now, it has completely changed into something different. It is not what it was at the beginning when they first started this whole big movement in America.
That's because Soros took it over.
People have taken over it. Exactly. But that's the thing. Things move along. Stuff changes. You know, yeah, we might have helped start this stuff, but guess what? It's out of control now, and they're on their own doing their own stuff. It's real terrorism. There are real people out there who hate us, and they're going to do harm, and it's going to happen again unless we start doing something about it.
And the bigger question is, we need to blame the government and people running it and say, what are you doing? Instead, there's just this debate about, should we take refugees or not? Of course not, because it's coming from a terrorist war zone. It's incredible. We're going to come back and take a few more calls, and Leanne McAdoo takes over. We got Joe Biggs in Paris. I'm Alex Jones. This is The InfoWar.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
If I don't get to all these calls, there's a good chance Leanne will. Probably need to ask her. She's coming up. I want to go to James, Steve, Sean, Blake, Michael, to everybody we can here. James in Kentucky, you're on with Alex Jones in Austin, Texas. Joe Biggs in London. And he's about to go to London in a few days, in Paris. France. Go ahead. You're on the air, James.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. I greatly, first off, I greatly appreciate all that you guys do. Love your coverage. Love you being on the forefront of the info war. Look, my point was is that, you know, lately Texas has been in the forefront. Governor Abbott, you know, refusing refugees, spearheading, you know, at least observing the Jade Helm 15. And I believe it's time to kind of flip the script on the globalist and start doing our own problem reaction solution. Governor Abbott, George Soros, you know, his owning of Home Depot and Lowe's, you know, why couldn't we legally go after the assets of the Home Depots and Lowe's in
Texas? Well, I agree that George Soros should be sued for his criminal activity. I mean, if anybody can be sued for overthrowing Ukraine and helping fund the refugees and the rest of it, I mean, it's just, there's got to be an end to this guy politically.
Right. And indict him criminally for providing material support for terrorists, you know, freeze the assets of Lowe's and Home Depot in Texas, start taking the offensive, add on.
Well, I agree.
That,
I mean, Abbott shouldn't just wait till the White House cooks up some indictment against him. He's pretty much been on the offense, but that's a good point.
Right. And you know, again, giving the problem reaction, let them react to us. You know, let them react to us. And,
well,
you
I'm
know,
always about getting on the far. Offense. No, I hear you. Let me jump, James. It's a great point. I don't know if you can legally go after companies that somebody's part owner of, but, I mean, certainly if Soros does business in Texas, I mean, they've indicted Rick Perry because he vetoed state funding to an ethics commission run by the county attorney who was caught attacking police drunk. I mean, that's totally in his purview. They indicted him. Why can't we indict them for all their crimes? Joe Biggs?
Yeah, I understand. I mean, that's something we should definitely try. I mean, but like you said, those guys have deep, deep pockets. It's hard to go after someone like that has that much money. Because at the end of the day, they're going to pay everybody off and get whatever it is they want. That's the sick thing about this world.
Well, Soros up in Connecticut lives about a mile from a private airfield and keeps a big wide-body jet fueled and ready with pilots. He always keeps a jet. He's got a helicopter on his property. He's ready to run at any moment.
Yeah.
He's a literal James Bond villain. Let's go ahead and talk to Steve in Tennessee. Last caller we have time for before we hand it over to McAdoo. Go ahead, Steve.
Alex, I listened to you, Bill Cooper, and Art Bell on the same day one time. That's how long I've been listening. And what drove Cooper nuts drives me nuts, and that is that the House of Assad, ISIS, and Al-Qaeda are Khazars. The New World Order is being set up by Khazars. Their religion is a Babylonian Talmudism, also called Wahhabism, and trying, you know, they do prey on the minorities, which are the Sunnis, just like they do here with the Black Lives Matter. They prey on the minorities.
You mean the Shiites?
Yeah, they do their dirty work, but the New World Order is trying to establish the new Khazaria. That's why Kiev, when Mars says that Kiev is the new Jerusalem, and Arafat's talking about the Greater Israel Project, they're setting up the new Khazaria before they establish the New World Order.
Well, I know it's been said that the Saudi House of Saud have no claim to any of that area. I thought they were Bedouins that the British intelligence hired to take over some of the camel routes there, where a lot of the spices and things were coming through that region of the world. But I'll have to do more research on that. Appreciate your call, Steve, in Tennessee. Joe Biggs, be safe. I know you're going to be a few more days in Paris, then on to London. And we'll be checking in with you tomorrow during the weekday show and obviously the nightly news tonight, 7 o'clock. Be safe, buddy.
Thank you.
You and, of course, Michael Zimmerman doing a great job. Be sure and pray for those folks. All right, I'm going to hand the baton to the capable, the intelligent, and the lovely Leanne Lady McAdoo.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Radio Show. You have now entered the fourth hour overdrive. I am your host this hour, Leanne McAdoo. I'm going to be joined by David Knight later in the hour. We're going to talk about the moral conundrum with this refugee crisis and should we or shouldn't we be bringing them into the U.S.? Rob Dew as well is here to talk about something pretty interesting now. It's flu shot season, but there's a whole new game changer out there. But first, I wanted to go ahead and let you guys know that Deep Cleanse is back in stock. It sold out in just a few days. Months ago, it's really hard for us to procure the organic ingredients that make up Deep Cleanse. So we only have a limited run of this. It is back in stock now. It is the best all-in-one product by InfoWars Life to help the body cleanse itself naturally. And of course, this is, you know, that time of year when we do a lot of partying with the family, and it is a great time to cleanse the body. So go ahead and get your Deep Cleanse. It is back at InfoWarsLife.com. Secure yours today. Now, I want to talk about something else that, you know, some toxins people want to be putting in your body every single year, even though it's only 18% effective, the flu shot. But now this year, little game changer, Uber is going to be offering one day on demand vaccinations right to your doorstep. Let's go ahead and play the today's hot topic, breaking it down for you.
80% of Americans that didn't get your flu shot yet? Well, Uber, the company that eventually wants to take away your ability to drive, has a solution. That's right, they're offering on-demand flu shots to your doorstep. Uber has teamed with Passport Health and Epidemico, a data mining company owned by Booz Allen Hamilton, to provide flu shots right to your door. That's right, now you can have aluminum, mercury, and other adjuvants injected into your arm in the comfort of your own home. And remember, the flu shot was only 18% effective last year, so this year's numbers can only get better. Or can they? Uber Health provided more than 2,000 vaccinations last year, and this year they're going to have up to 10,000 flu shots available, with hundreds of nurses ready in Uber vehicles across the country. But it's only one day. You can read more about it and Booz Allen Hamilton at InfoWars.com. Rob Dew reporting. And sign up for our newsletter at InfoWars.com/insider.
That's right. So now you can have door-to-door delivery of the flu shot. You don't have to go to any of your hospital or go to visit your local nurse. They're going to have nurses on demand. You just go sign up to Uber and choose the label Uber Health. So Rob Dew, thanks for joining me now. Break this down for us, because Uber seems to really be expanding into many different markets. They really don't want you to leave your house.
Yeah. You know, their mission is to get us all not driving,
right?
Essentially, but now they want to, you know, have nurses come. It's a $10 charge for the nurse to show up, and they can give shots up to 10 people at a time. So wow. They say you could split the cost with your colleagues, and it's like $10. And so, who's financing all this? This is what I really wanted to look at. But I just think it's amazing that, you know, it's not enough that they push it at every grocery store. You know, they're going to give you gift cards, 10% off this for getting the flu shot. Every corner pharmaceutical company store, you know, CVS,
Walgreens. When it's 18% effective, it doesn't even counteract the flu right. That's going around that season.
They never want to tell you that. They just want you to get that flu shot. They want pregnant women to get it. They want the elderly to get the double dose. I mean, it is crazy what they want to push. And now they want to drive these to your house or your place of business and give them to you. And, you know, last year it was four cities, Boston, New York, Washington, and Chicago. This year, 38 cities.
Wow.
And so when I started looking into this article, it was a Washington Post article, and we posted it last night. What interested me was the company involved, and they are called Epidemico. And they're a public health data mining company owned by Booz Allen Hamilton.
Epidemico?
Epidemico. So they track epidemics. And Passport Health, they're like a traveling kind of nurse service. So yeah. That makes sense that they're involved.
They're like,
even though I don't agree.
Where there's an epidemic, we're there.
Right. And so I started looking at Booz Allen Hamilton, and I put on the bottom when I had Mikhail post this on InfoWars, I said, you got to post this, and then be sure you put a link to one of our articles. Booz Allen Hamilton, it's actually a Daily Paul article. Booz Allen Hamilton, what you don't know about Snowden's former employer. And this is a company that gets 99% of their revenue from the U.S. government. They work for the NSA, the IRS, all the armed forces, FBI, Homeland Security, you know, James Clapper's involved with them. And then they have this character named Dov Zakim, who works with the company, and he also owns a company called Systems Planning Corporation, which they did the investigation into the WTC bombing of 1993. He was the comptroller of the Pentagon during which $2.3 trillion went missing. Remember, that was the day before 9/11 that Rumsfeld came out and said, we don't know
where it's at. And it just so happened to hit that part of the Pentagon where, oh, now we'll never get to the bottom of that.
His company's also involved in flight systems capable of remote controlling aircraft. And who owns Booz Allen Hamilton? The Carlyle Group, which is owned by the Bushes and Bin Laden. So it makes you wonder why a large company like this is putting is working with Uber and this other health provider to track where these vaccinations are going, who's getting them, because all that's done through Uber. You're using your, you know, code and whatever when your account to order it.
Right.
So how, you know, a lot of people on Twitter are speculating that they're doing this to track how effective the flu shot is at giving the people flu instead of actually preventing the flu, because you are being injected with a virus,
right,
a flu virus.
Or seeing how that particular strain of flu that may or may not have been lab created travels and how quickly it travels and if it can be contained or controlled. And
And now they're doing it in 38 cities. So they're really going to have, and it's a large section. It's you know, the most more populated cities. That's where Uber is more effective. So that's on Thursday. So that's tomorrow that they're going to be doing this. I would like to challenge somebody. Too bad Austin is not one of the cities, but to have the nurse come and show up and then provide a form that says you're going to take full responsibility for any side effects that may happen after I take this shot. See if they sign it.
And that's the thing.
And take video of it. You know, shoot some video of it, of the Uber nurse coming to your door with the flu shot in hand.
Right. And even educating the Uber nurse, because a lot of times they don't even want to read the package insert. But that's one of the things with this, with the share economy, is that they're not sharing in the responsibility if something bad happens. Like, you see a lot of these stories where a girl might get raped, or a driver is beaten by a drunk person in their car, or something like that. But how are they ultimately responsible for it? Well, how are they going to ultimately be responsible if someone is injured by one of these vaccines?
Right. That was brought to them by their $10 service. I mean, very cheap compared to what normally an Uber drive costs, or an Uber, you know, experience costs. But I guess they're not picking somebody up. They're just delivering a nurse.
Right.
And it just blows my mind. And, you know, reading that, I had to do that Hot Topic last night, and we put it up today. And, you know, it just, I'm totally amazed at where our country is going, how crazy it's getting so quickly with all the PC, the political correctness stuff, the vaccine pushing. And it really, there's really few people, you know, standing up and pushing back on this stuff. There are some great websites out there that are doing it, but I'm just totally blown away at this point.
Right. Well, it's all just about acceptance. This is the future that's being created, and don't you even worry about it. There's nothing you can do to stop it. Just like we have the big Texas welcome for Google's self-driving cars.
Right.
Austin is basically the hub for it. They've always been enthusiastic about innovation. So we're going to have these self-driving cars on our streets and just kind of being dumped on us. Whereas I know California has tried to set up some regulations for them, but they're like, yeah, the Austinites keep it weird. They like anything new and innovative.
You know, we didn't like public transportation. People don't like public transportation. They like their cars. You know, if you have a choice, what are you going to do? Drive your car or go take the bus? The only reason we ever take the bus is if we're going to an event downtown and there's no parking, which is done by design to get people out of their cars. They don't provide parking anywhere. So that's the only reason people use, you know, those services like that, if they have a choice.
Yeah. Or like I would prefer to take a bus or the Amtrak or something if it could get me to and from downtown at night safely, but they shut it down at night.
Exactly.
So for those of us who, you know, can't drive downtown, it's like, no, it's not for you. And so it's just basically a useless tool that's out there. That's just why people continually vote against it.
Totally. Now, moving on to, I guess, Paris, what's going on with the shootings, there's been some fallout. And our friend up in Washington, Spokane, Washington, Ozzie Knezovich, has asked his deputies to carry extra guns, or guns and extra ammo with them, especially when they're off duty. Why? To possibly stop something like this. So he's actually saying guns stop crime.
Yeah.
And he wants his people
radical
to do
idea.
It. I know.
Of course,
totally
gun sales have surged following these Paris attacks.
Right.
And then Obama comes out the next day or so afterward and doubles down and says gun control is going to be the big thing for his last year in office.
Yeah, because that's what helped those people in Paris was gun control. You know, for 2 hours, they were stuck in a theater just being picked off. I mean, I read the story. So these people were lying down pretending like they were dead just so they wouldn't get shot, because anytime somebody moved, boom, they would get picked off. They had a spotter and somebody up in the balcony shooting people.
Well, there's another story there on our site about how they were actually coming by and cutting their insides, basically just letting them bleed out.
Right. That's called.
Exactly. And then just someone actually wasn't shot because they kicked him in his fake leg, and he had lost his leg. And it was only because he had that fake leg and they kicked him in it and he didn't respond that he was able to survive. And I mean, I've had people commenting on the video that we posted up saying, is that what you would want? You really think that you could stop a terrorist attack? You want a bunch of drunk people at clubs with guns? And the thing is like, the people who have these concealed carry, they're not the ones that are going out and committing these mass atrocities.
Yeah,
they're responsible.
Well, and in the wake of that, there's people in Spokane. Actually, there was 40 people who were just citizens who went out to get their concealed carry permit. And that led me to a site called Gunwatch, and they have this was posted in 2012, and it's called Mass Killings Stopped by Armed Citizens. So here's a church shooting in Colorado Springs was stopped by the shooter being shot by a church member with a concealed carry permit. In Santa Clara, gun shop shooting was stopped by an armed citizen after the shooter declared he was going to kill everyone. And the police found a list of victims in his car, and only the perpetrator was shot.
Right. And actually, there are so many instances of this. And when we come back, I actually want you to talk a little bit about there was another mass shooting. It was one guy. He had 5 bullets.
Right.
And he was able to save 1,000 people from 4 terrorists who specifically targeted this church, thinking that everyone there would be unarmed.
One man with one gun.
Surprise. We'll be right back. The Alex Jones Show. This is the 4th hour Overdrive, and I'm Leanne McAdoo. I love that song. That's like my ultimate top-down, driving through the desert road trip song. But I'm here with Rob Dew, and we were just before the break, we were talking about the fact that gun sales surged after this Paris attack. Obama wants to double down, though, on the gun grabbing, saying that's going to be his top issue for the remainder of his time in office. But you were giving us some statistics of times when one person helped stop a mass attack.
Yeah, and I want to end that with an interview that David Knight did back in June. 5 bullets to save 1,000 people from 4 terrorists. And this is the story of Charles Van Vick, who was armed with a .38 revolver with 5 bullets. He stopped 4 men with AK-47s, grenades, and Molotov cocktails who stormed their church and were going to kill the 1,000 people that were in there. They wanted to kill everybody. And he stopped them. One guy chased him off with a gun with 5 bullets. And now he's a missionary and talks about this. Contrast that to the story, because we talk about Knizovich wanting his cops to be armed at all times. 5 people shot by local police in 48 hours over the weekend. That was in Miami. And we had that off-duty cop that went and shot a guy who was a drummer in a band. His car had broken down, and he thought this guy was coming to rob him. So the guy pulls up behind him, and he jumps out, and the off-duty cop shoots him. And I want to end with this. And I don't want to pick on police, but I mean, they really are. They're doing better than the burglars now in stealing things from people.
Right, making more money than
burglaries. Police civil asset forfeiture exceed all burglaries in 2014. Police have forfeited, or I guess stolen, $4.5 billion from people in 2014. Contrast that with the $3.9 billion in property losses by burglary offenses.
So police are now taking more assets than criminals. And of course, they also have a license to kill. So, Well, I want to go ahead and let's throw to this John Bowne report, because while we're talking about the fact that Obama is doubling down on the gun grab, he's also blatantly disregarding the concerns of the American people with this refugee crisis.
In the wake of the terror in Paris, President Obama is blatantly disregarding the very real concerns of the American people. Rather than review the policy to bring in 10,000 Syrian refugees after the horror the world witnessed just 5 days ago, Obama clutches like a madman to his power. and stays the course on the Bilderberg-fueled globalist demand that he oust President Bashar al-Assad from Syria. Rather than do whatever it takes to protect the United States, Obama is leaving the gates wide open as he shuns the overwhelming concerns of Americans and aids an invading force to quietly enter the United States. People are flooding social media to encourage Americans to call their congressional representatives to stop the resettlement of Middle Eastern migrants after government officials and contractors admitted the migrants cannot be tracked or vetted properly. Nearly 80% of states receiving the most migrants have GOP upper house majorities. Of the 19 states that took in the most refugees per capita in 2013 and 2014, 15 have upper house legislatures dominated by Republicans. In comparison, only 3 of the 19 states are Democratic. The FBI has already admitted the U.S. can't vet all the migrants for terror ties.
We can only query against that which we have collected. And so if someone has never made a ripple in the pond in Syria in a way that would get their identity or their interests reflected in our database, we can query our database till the cows come home, but we're not going to. Well, there will be nothing show up because we have no record on that. You can only query what you've collected. And with respect to Iraqi refugees, we had far more in our databases because of our country's work there for a decade. This is a different situation.
In the case of Syria, you can't go to the government offices in that country. They're in disarray. You can't go interview people who know people who are applying for this status. Do you disagree with the FBI director when he says that vetting Syrian refugees is extremely difficult, if not impossible?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I'm not sure he said it was impossible. Certainly, not only the Department of Justice, but all of our agencies will make every effort to vet every refugee coming into this country, from the databases to the interviews that those individuals are subject to the biometric screening as well.
Let me go on.
Certainly, there are challenges to that process because of the situation in Syria.
Recently, a Syrian migrant who was relocated to Louisiana went missing. The group accommodating him admitted it doesn't track the migrants. The LA Times is reporting that more than half the
country's. All right, now coming up after the break, David Knight will be in here, and we're going to be discussing this vetting process. If you want to watch the rest of that report, it's on the Alex Jones channel on YouTube. It's called Terror Migrates to America. It's very important. Be sure to share that on your Facebook page. Share that with all of your friends. It's very important to get that reality out there. We'll be right back.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
Welcome back to The Alex Jones Show. This is the fourth hour overdrive. I am Leanne McAdoo, joined by David Knight. Now, I wanted to let you guys know this is the time to get Supermail Vitality at InfoWarsLife.com before the holidays. This makes an excellent stocking stuffer, and frankly, it's the gift that's going to keep on giving. Now, we have hundreds of five-star reviews for Supermail Vitality. It's our best-selling formula for a reason, because it really works. I'm going to go ahead and read some of the reviews at InfoWarsLife.com. And this is from our certified third-party review system. Now, this is Team Liberty Radio. He says, I love natural solutions and supplements, and this is a great product. I used to do energy drinks and shots before work, but no more. This is great. And he says it acts quickly, good taste, no side effects, which is the same thing from Link out of Tulsa, Oklahoma. He says some pros are it makes him feel 13 again. He says this product is revolutionary. Its effectiveness increased after the second month in a big way. I use a little extra on performance time. No ill side effects at all. So there you go. And that's just two of hundreds of our five-star reviews. Get your Supermail Vitality now while supplies last. It's an excellent holiday stocking stuffer. And that's at InfoWarsLife.com. Now, David Knight joins me now because I want to, while we're kind of talking about this, you know, the holiday, 'tis the season and everything. It's Thanksgiving coming up, and so it wouldn't be Thanksgiving without the typical racist memes that come around, talking about how terrible white people are and all of that, the Europeans. But now there is a new meme that I'm seeing on social media. It's Thanksgiving related, and it's if you guys can see this picture here on my phone, you can actually view what I'm looking at if you go to infowars.com/show. But it's a meme, and it's got a Native American there with a pilgrim. And the Native American is thinking, what if we let them in? And they turn out to be violent religious fanatics. So, of course, this is playing on the theme of letting in these refugees, sort of saying, you know, here they're saying, well, what would have happened if the Native Americans wouldn't have let the Europeans in? Well, you know, I look at it another way. Hey, didn't really turn out too good for the Native Americans, did it? So
yeah, that's true. Well, the thing is, though, that that's based on a cartoon understanding. It's fitting that it's a cartoon because it's based on a cartoon understanding of history. Look, we if you go back and you look at history, you understand the relationships between the Pilgrims and the Indians initially were very good. Both sides wanted to get along. It was in their best interest to get along. That's what we celebrate at Thanksgiving. We celebrate that. We celebrate God's provision for us. And that's not something that we're saying, you know, we're going to annihilate the other people. That wasn't the intention of the Pilgrims to come here. They wanted to live with other people. As a matter of fact, they wanted to share with them what they thought was the most valuable thing they had, their relationship with God, with Christ. But what happened over a period of time was that the government stepped in, and the government betrayed and created problems because they violated the treaties, just like our government has violated every treaty with us as well. That's what Russell Means, American Indian Movement founder, said. He said, where white men fear to tread. He said, the government has violated every treaty they ever made with Indians in America. And he said, and now they're violating the treaty that they made with you, white man, the Constitution. And so the problem really is, how do we keep governments accountable and honest? How do we keep governments from fomenting unrest between two different groups? How do we keep them, how do we make them obey the law? Who watches the watchers? That's really the fundamental question. And it isn't a cultural thing. It isn't that the Pilgrims were evil. You know, if you go back to the Civil War and you look at the notion that is also a cartoon history notion that this was all about, it was an altruistic movement to free the slaves from the evil South. That clearly isn't the case. You look at what these same military people did, like General Sheridan, who said, when I'm finished with the Shenandoah Valley, the most fertile valley in the area, he said, when I'm finished with it, a crow won't be able to cross from one end to the other without carrying his own food with him. And that same guy, in just a couple of years, went out west, attacked the Indians in a movement of genocide, and said the only good Indian is a dead Indian. We have to understand where the threat is coming from, and we need to stop with this cartoon history of pitting one group against another, saying that religion is a problem. It isn't the problem. It's the solution.
Well, and it's exactly happening again today. It's very cyclical. So now they have, we're talking about the governments have gone in, they've supplied all the weapons, the ammunition, they've fomented this jihadi crisis that is there in the Middle East and created this refugee crisis. And then now they're playing on our morality, saying, well, we've created this refugee crisis, but now you're a bad person if you do not open your doors wide open and let these people in.
And so that's what Jeb Bush is telling us.
Where do they get the moral authority?
Exactly. That's what Jeb Bush is saying to us. And of course, I think, you know, just as with his father, George H.W., when he went to Japan, he stood up and threw up at a state dinner, and he became a verb, okay, to do a bush, came to Bushuzuru or something like that. It became synonymous with throwing up, okay, in Japan. Basically, what we need to do is we need to have turned Jeb into a verb. In other words, clueless. The guy is a total Jeb. Okay. And evidently he doesn't care what the general public opinion is either, because he just wants to continue and double down with what's being done. He says, look, we don't want to keep these people out of the country. Instead, we need to solve the problem there. And of course, his solution to the problem is more war, more involvement, a bigger, wider war that's much deeper, that's going to create more refugees as well as create more terrorists. And that's what a lot of people don't understand. We've got this article from Mikhail talking about hackers who are angry at the governors who said, we're not going to take people who are unvetted. Just as we saw in the report from John Bount. They don't know who these people are. They don't know where they are. They don't know, you know, so there's absolutely no understanding or control of this. And yet when you look at Jeb Bush talking about this, he says, there's a broader issue at stake here where a group of people who've declared war on Western civilization in our country, we're going to fix it. And he talks about how he's got experience because he working abroad because he worked for Barclays and Texas Commerce Bank abroad. Of course, he's also got domestic experience because he worked for Lehman Brothers. Okay. Right. This guy is nothing but a part of the class that has created this problem. The bankers, the military industrial complex. And then he goes on to say, and I'll read this one last quote from the Jeb. He says, his brother and his surge in 2007 was an incredibly courageous act against the popular will. He did something against the public, and he goes, but it was the right thing to do, and it was a great success. Well, I don't think it was. Look at Iraq today, okay? It wasn't a success, Jeb. Okay,
right.
when he does vacuum. This kind of stuff, his numbers are plummeting in public opinion. Nobody is believing this, but of course Jeb can rig it. I mean, I'm sorry, Jeb can fix it. That's we know what that fix is. That's
the
what he
fix
did
is
for
in.
His. Yeah, he got his brother elected president against the popular will, just like they had the war against popular will. And so when we look at hackers who are pushing back, some of the hackers pushing back against ISIS, but other hackers have said they're going to go after the governors. We had this story from Mikhail yesterday. Hackers threaten governors for refusing refugees, and this is an organization, Krakows with Attitudes, CWA. They said. And they spoke with Mikhail, an exclusive story. They said, we will be targeting governors who are stopping refugees from having a place to stay in their state. And they were saying exactly the same thing you began with, Leanne, that we have created this problem and it's wrong for us to refuse these refugees. Well, there's a better way to solve this. Let's stop the war. Let's target the people who are starting the war. Let's go target Jeb Bush if you want to target somebody, because he's still pushing for this type of policy. Or whoever you think is responsible for fomenting this war, for making us trying to make us Al-Qaeda's Air Force, people who are pushing that, those are the villains, because they're not trying to really solve the problem. They want a greater, larger war.
Right, and they want to play on your moral sympathies to force your hand in this. And, you know, one of the big issues, they say, with the vetting process is that there is no database to vet the people who are coming in. They could say anything they want. I'm this person. I'm Jim Jones. And it doesn't, they haven't mastered the human domain in the Middle East. They don't have this infrastructure that we have set up here in the West where they're able to track and surveil everything. I mean, even though they are, you know, under surveillance and still get away with this.
But. I don't want biometric tracking. You know, Hewlett Packard has made a lot of money essentially being the sole vendor because they're so connected inside the Israeli government. They're the sole vendor of this biometric system. Mm-hmm. Out there. They lost a competition, I think, at one point to EDS, so then they purchased EDS. And of course, you know, we could talk about Carly Fiorina and her deep ties to the CIA, but I don't want biometric controls. Mm-hmm. I don't want them to bring these people, because that's the next situation. Right. They go into these other countries, they attack them, they assassinate people with their drones, they start wars there, they create refugees, we bring refugees over, and they also create terrorists, people who are angry at what we did, angry at America, and justly so. I'm not saying there's an equivalent here, but I'm saying that understand the blowback that you're creating here, okay? Bringing those people in so they can do the same thing here. And then the next solution that they're going to sell us, Leanne, is a biometric tracking for everybody.
Right.
But then, of course, they will
not. That's how they'll keep us safe.
Exactly. But they won't apply that to their jihadi surrogates, because that's exactly what these people are. They're surrogates for unrest. Mm-hmm. They're surrogates to bring in a new world order, and biometric tracking is going to be a big part of that.
Right, because they are pushing, obviously, for the biometric tracking. That's what they're going to need to be able to vet these refugees, but also saying that in 2016, the big thing is also going to be doing away with encryption, because that's also stopping them from being able to do this. Mm-hmm. But meanwhile, the border is wide open, bring them in. And one of the things that, you know, you want to point out is the fact that these eight jihadists or whatever that they have been able to identify at this point, they were French nationals. They didn't just come from Syria. They were French. Mm-hmm. And so these were young men who were ripe for radicalization. They couldn't find jobs. There was, obviously some sort of an issue there in France. I mean, a lot of people can't find jobs there, but it's not their parents who were brought in from Algeria, Tunisia, all these other places. They were fine. It's their kids. Mm-hmm. And so Obama is really pushing this thing of they're frightened of widows and orphans and things. No, it is these very people who grow up and they're angry about the fact that for what has happened to their country, why they had to become refugees in the first place. And now they come here and they're not going to be able to find jobs because, hey, guess what? Most of America can't find jobs. I mean, there's a huge jobs crisis.
Yeah, I understand. I don't think it's totally economic, though. And I don't agree with Bernie Sanders that it's about climate change either. I don't think Al-Qaeda and ISIS were created to fight climate change. No, there's a religious element to it. There's a cultural element to it. And yeah, there is a clash of cultures. And that's what they're trying. As Bobby Jindal said, and he just dropped out yesterday, but he had a great quote. He said, immigration without assimilation is invasion. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it takes two to assimilate. You know, it takes two to tango, okay? There's a lot of people who are being brought into this, into the Western civilization, both in Europe and in America, who do not wish to be a part of that society.
Mm-hmm.
In the past, immigrants were a great thing. They were a boon to our society because they were coming here to live under a system that they admired, that they wanted to be a part of, that they considered to be better than what they were coming from. They understood that. And so when you had these early waves of European immigrants that were coming in massive numbers in the early 20th century, that was their mindset. They were not coming here for a welfare state. There was no welfare state. Now you have people who are coming here because of a welfare state. They're coming here because they want to take this country over and they just want to loot it, okay? Or they're angry and they've got a chip on their shoulder. Nevertheless, when people come here and they do not wish to assimilate, that is nothing short of an invasion.
Right.
He was exactly right with that. That's if people need to understand that he's succinctly stated the situation. Immigration without assimilation is invasion. And that is what the elites who are pushing world government have deliberately set up.
Right. And well, and that's why you look where these jihadists come from there in Belgium. It was like the no-go zone. They weren't assimilating into the culture that
they were creating their own separate area.
Right.
Carving that out. Exactly.
Right. And that's
like La Raza. Okay,
and that's where it was born, and it was able to breed and manifest this, and they were able to move about freely, and it's a no-go zone, and they want those here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they want to have their own Sharia law courts here.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't allow that to happen. And not saying, you know, you want to be of religious freedom, you know, it's the United States of America, but we all have to be under the same rules of this Constitution here.
That's right. Yeah, we can argue about history. I disagree completely with that cartoon history that's there, but we understand the path forward. Regardless of what happened, regardless of whether you agree with my position on Thanksgiving and history and everything else, you need to understand that if you're going to deliberately bring people in and try to balkanize the West, that is set up for one reason and one reason only, and that is to destroy Western civilization, to destroy borders, to destroy the nations that will stand in the way of the New World Order.
Right.
And Bernie Sanders is right to one degree that there is an indirect relationship between terrorism and climate change. And I did a one-minute report on this. People will be hearing this on the but that relationship is that both of these things have been created to usher in a world government. One of them is a beard for the right. The other one is a beard for the left. The leftists want to save the environment. So, yeah, let's have world government. The right wing wants to have open trade and free trade, which they think these transatlantic partnerships are about. And they want, quote unquote, safety and freedom, safety and security. So, you know, they support a police state. They support this world government that will be ushered in with the trade agreements. But these things are beards. They're not going to give you what you think. They're not going to save the planet. They're not going to make you safer. Mm-hmm. They're not going to make you more economically prosperous or have free trade. It's managed trade. It's crony capitalism.
Right.
It's total corporatism. And yet they're going to sign on to that because that's their political bias.
Right. And then a lot of people would say, well, why would they want to do that? It doesn't make sense. Why would they want to bring their own economy down? They're separate from us. It's just like the Hunger Games. So they have the districts and everyone who's poor is in their little district. And then you have to drive miles and miles to, you know, if you're allowed to drive, somehow you can get there to where the elite stay. And they're, you know, gorging on food so much that they have to make themselves vomit so they can continue eating and gorging on food while the rest of the world is starving. So this is the society that they're wanting to create in the future. That's why they're okay with globalization, open borders, because it's not that they're going to all come down with us. There's going to be the upper class and the lower class.
It's because the same people created Hitler and created the communists. They want to lower everything. They want to concentrate everything. And you can see what happened in Bernie Sanders' beloved Nicaragua, you know, where they had the bankers are making 700% return on investment, but the people can't even find food, water, and medicine.
Right.
It always happens that way. It is by design. And both fascism and communism were designed to do that. They were designed to level the economy, leave a few elite in charge, and those elite meet, that's exactly what they want with their elitist government. They don't want a path for people to be able to rise up and challenge them to have upward mobility. That's why you've got people like FDR setting up the tax rates, putting an additional burden of 40% taxes on the poorest people on the income tax and the payroll tax.
It'll be less than 90%.
Yeah, exactly. When he came in, the poor people, as I talked about yesterday, were paying 4% income tax, period. When he got finished, their income tax rate went to 29%, and he levied a 15% payroll tax on them. So he put a 40% burden on these people. That's socialism for you. Stop the upward mobility. Put this heavy burden on people because the government is going to make the choices for your life. You won't have the ability to make the choices for your own life.
Right. And they don't ever want to look at those examples of where socialism has completely failed. Communism has completely failed. They only want to look at Denmark or Sweden or places where, frankly, the people there are very homogenous. They all think the same. So you're not going to be able to have that in a society like the United States of America, where we are the melting pot. Everyone.
Well, they also are starting out from a position where they're much wealthier than people were in Central America when communism was imposed on them. And so they have much farther to fall. And they want to accelerate that. That's the Cloward and Piven strategy. These are two socialist political scientists who wanted to do this, and they said, hey, we've got to accelerate this somehow so we can create a complete communist state. That's why they're bringing in the immigrants into the wealthy countries as well.
Well, absolutely. Now, David, stick around, because after the break, I want to touch on this moral issue. You're seeing this a lot. You know, prove your Christianity with this bringing in the refugees into the United States. I want to get your take on that. The whole separation of church and state, you know, it's mighty convenient when they're pushing an agenda. Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. This is the Overdrive Hour. I'm Leanne McAdoo, joined by David Knight. Now, we know that there are 20-plus states now who are refusing to bring in Syrian refugees. And then, of course, this is coming out today. A Tennessee GOP leader says he wants to round up the Syrian refugees and remove them from the state. He's actually saying, let's use the National Guard to round up any Syrian refugees who have recently settled there in Tennessee. And this made me really concerned a little bit because it kind of reminded me of an article that we had at Infowars.com. Did you know America now, similar to 1930s Germany? And this is Illinois Mike wrote this article, and he's talking about the parallels between 2015 America and 1933 Germany, and how we are basically ripe for another dictator to come in with a populist opinion to round people up, deport ethnic and religious minorities, and get it done. So this is kind of where I'm kind of on the fence here with this whole refugee crisis, bringing them in and out, because obviously, yes, you have people who are fleeing. There are a lot of Muslims being killed there as well as Christians and others. So they're not all jihadists. I get that. You do have genuinely people that need help. But at the same time, you also have jihadists that are embedding themselves within these refugee communities. And of course, you know, in social media, they're really saying, well, what about Matthew 25:35? You know, or what about, you know, the foreigner residing among you must be treated as your native born. Love them as yourself, for you were foreigners in Egypt. So, I mean, there's moral.
I would say to my Christian friends who bought into the leftist paradigm, the same thing I say to my Christian friends who bought into the rightist paradigm. That is, don't use government as a surrogate. And let's talk about the right. First of all, let's talk about how the right looks at the problems of addiction, whether it's alcohol or drugs, and they want prohibition. And what they have done is they have used government as a hammer against people. And they have essentially created a reign of terror in our country with this war on drugs. And I would say to the people on the left, don't use government as a surrogate to practice charity, because that's what they're advocating. If we want to know what this really should look like, we're talking about the terror attacks in France. Alexis de Tocqueville, who came from France to America in the early days of the American Republic and wrote Democracy in America, he was absolutely amazed at the generosity and the charity of the American people. They had the means to do it because they didn't have a government that was robbing them blind and then doing it very poorly. Okay, that's the problem, one of the problems of the welfare state. So they had the means to do it. They were also motivated to do it because of their Christian faith. If you want to know how society should, how society could work, how America succeeded in the past, take a look at Democracy in America. Look at his diary as he traveled through the United States. That's really the way that it could work. And if we didn't have an American foreign policy that was an empire-building foreign policy that had put Syria in the crosshairs decades ago with General Clark talking about this, then we wouldn't be involved in all these foreign entanglements. We wouldn't be starting wars. We'd be minding our own business. That's where the Christianity starts. When we make government a god, when we say that every problem needs to be solved by the government, whether it is income inequality or whether it is addiction or whether it is some conflict in a foreign land, everything needs to be done by a centralized, controlled American government. That's where we go off the rails. Let's look at how this would be done if we had a free and open society where people were free to help each other because they had the resources, where we minded our own business and didn't start these wars in the first place.
Right. I think I agree with you. Back in the day, we really did used to have the moral high ground. People, it was our Christian values, and we did go out there, and we really genuinely wanted to help people.
Yes, now, and you can still do it. You can still help these people individually.
Absolutely. Well, David Knight, thank you so much for your perspective, as always, on this. We're going to be talking about this more in depth on the InfoWars Nightly News tonight. That will be Jakari Jackson hosting. I'll be there, and David Knight's got another special report as well. So be sure to tune in to the InfoWars Nightly News tonight, 7 p.m. Central.